نعبد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في قرآن مجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد مدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله الألف مرة اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم
درشی پڑھیں سب صاحب
Read Durood Sharif. It is the Sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Shadeedul Iqab. And He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim as well. Now, since this world has been created and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has continued to demonstrate His qualities, His characteristics with previous nations, we read the events in the Quran, the noble Quran. When the nation would become disobedient, prior to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to those people, Allah would grant them with an opportunity. Allah would give them lots of things in the world, lots of comforts. Allah would give increase in wealth, technology, whatever it was at that time, assets, buildings, structures, enjoyment of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept on giving them a chance, an opportunity. And when the prophets would come with the message from Allah, and that when the human being gets spoilt and he deviates and he drops down so low, and then he becomes worse than the animals, and then there's nothing to look after that person. When the human being drops to such a low ebb, then from Allah the punishment comes. And that's when Allah says, I demonstrate Shadeedul Iqab. And there was the qawm, that nation would reject and deny, come on, let's go on holiday. Good weather's about to come. Clouds are coming. Spring is coming. Monsoon is coming. Enjoyment. Let's enjoy ourselves. They didn't know, those nations, those people, that this is adab coming from Allah. Punishment. Eventually what happens? In the noble Quran, we have read, you have read, how Allah Ta'ala eliminates those people. That same nation who was owners of big, tall buildings, technology, strength, materials. This is not about today we're talking. We're talking about historically. We think we have reached. We are making big things, structures and technology. But prior nations, previous nations also were advanced. But when Allah, Shadeedul Iqab, when He demonstrates that, in a short time, nothing would be visible in that place. Nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these events in the Quran, incidents, events, not for stories, jackanory, folk tales, for us to read to each other. The previous nations, this is not stories. The Quran is not the book of stories. This is the book giving us warning, reminder. Every Nabi, every prophet came with a warning, reminder. In other words, that the sins they used to commit, imagine the sins they used to commit, previous nations. The people of Shu'aib, people of Lut, they did different actions. And different nations did different actions. lots of sins. And it's sad to say, today all of those sins are done in combination by one people. Those who believe, those who reject. But alhamdulillah, today Allah's mercy, we can still see it. Allah Ta'ala's mercy overwhelms. Today this gathering, this faqir, this humble servant is witnessing. This gathering is a unique gathering that we're sat in. This is the demonstration of Allah's mercy. And there's no adab here, there's no punishment here. We are on that level right now, all of us, that Allah Ta'ala is putting us together. And He's reminding us, giving us another chance. Allah's rahmah, mercy, why did I say is overwhelming and it's on the top right now? The answer, you can ask from your own hearts when I speak to you, why, and ask you, why have you come? What's the reason for you to come today? To see someone here? For business purposes? To do any other transaction? Ask your heart. Why did you come? I've got a question for you. Why did you come here? What is the reason you're here? There's only one reason that we're here, nothing else. Is if you see the announcement, you'll see there's one thing that's mentioned on that poster or announcement. What's the heading? What does it say in the heading? The first line. What are we here for? Majlis dhikrullah. Gathering of dhikrullah. We have no relationship with each other. We're not connected with blood relations. And such a day, we're here. People wait that the 25th will do this, we'll go there, we'll travel, and we'll have good, we'll have food there. Because this is our only chance to see, you know, people on the 25th around the country are doing all sorts of things for different reasons to meet the relatives. Fortunately, it's not that cold today. MashaAllah, it was a sunny day with the barakah of this dhikrullah, this gathering. Otherwise, Bolton is the coldest place. It's on the hills. Yeah, we live in the Seven Hills. Dobe Hill, Seven Hills. So it's cold here more. And the people of London, they know that there's a difference here in the climate. But, MashaAllah, today is nice weather, good weather. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, people on this day, they meet each other for worldly reasons, to meet relatives, friends, etc. But you are coming today for a different purpose, in comfortable coaches, nice seats, comfortable cars, nice comfortable journey. Didn't you come in a nice way? You came in such a way that it was comfort. And this is called Allah's rahmah. And you came here, you're sitting in a comfortable place. This is the rahmah of Allah. When His severity is shown, when Allah is upset and not happy, then Allah Ta'ala sends adab, punishment. When Allah Ta'ala sends rahmah, mercy, then Allah forgives the people. Allah forgives the people. And they don't know themselves. That why is Allah assembling us? What's the reason for this? But Allah's mercy, His hikmah, His wisdom knows that how long they will be here, what are their circumstances in their life, what are the sins that are ascribed to them in their books of deeds. And because we have a great connection with Allah, our connection is very great. We are connected to Imamul Anbiya sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are in His ummah. So Allah has given us many chances, more in comparison, that all the sins, despite they are in our lives, but Allah Ta'ala's mercy repeatedly has given us a chance to turn back. To turn back. That look after yourself, improve yourself. Turn back. For a short while, if I especially, what can I say to you? If I look down into my life, and I delve into my life, and I should be drowning in my sweat. I did this sin, I committed this sin, Allah, I've committed this wrong, I've done this mistake. And if I see that I'm sat in a masjid, it's a majlis, a gathering. But what do I know that how much Allah Ta'ala is sending His mercy onto us right now? Such great mercy is descending right now. Where are we with our deeds and our errors? And where is this gathering we're sat in? Why? What is this gathering? What will we get for this gathering? Yes, that we could listen to nasheed online, on recordings. All of you've heard nasheeds and recordings and recitation of Quran. So why did we come all the way here to listen to this? What's the reason? Elderly, youngsters, at homes, all the way around the world people are listening. Yeah, you see now the views that in the dunya, they're not sleeping right now in different nations, different countries. They're not sleeping. They're waiting for the majlis to start. And the difference of time, 1 hour, 5 hours, 7 hours, plus, minus. That's the difference, but they're waking up. They're staying awake. The ijtima has come. The annual gathering. Such awareness Allah Ta'ala has given to the human being. Each person in this gathering, Allah has given that awareness. So much awareness, recognition. I will say this definitely, that so grateful we should be that this mercy Allah has given to us, this, what we are about to attain in this gathering, millions and millions of things Allah can give you in the world, but you cannot get what we're going to get in this gathering. That cannot compare. And what is that? From Allah, Allah is about to announce Himself. As Anas radiyallahu anhu qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'll give you a reference of hadith. Those people who gather for the sake of the remembrance of Allah, with Allah's blessings, with Allah's permission, Allah changes the heart. If Allah Ta'ala allows a group of people to assemble for His dhikr, for His remembrance, for what? For His dhikr, if a group of people assemble, gather, then there's no other action, no other intention, like I said to you in the beginning. We're not here for anything else. There's no other objective for us to travel. You have come straight here, you sat in the masjid, and from here you'll go back. There's no other action we're going to take. Yes, maybe some friends, salam, etc. But your main objective was this. The whole way, you ask, where are you going? To the gathering of dhikr. This is the answer you're given it. Annual ijtima, dhikr majlis. Where are you going? Where are you going? Dhikr, gathering. Bolton, so far away, nobody knows this town. Small town in the UK. It's not that famous, not that popular, well known. You going Bolton? I'm going Bolton, I'm going Bolton. Why are you going Bolton? You've come from your own masjid, respected scholars in your masjids. But Allah Ta'ala, when He wills and He wants to give reward to someone, then Allah says, I select that person. From Medina, Allah has called somebody here today. From Medina. Imagine, Medina. People, they sat here. Yeah, they're coming, hastening here, rushing here. Why? What? Allah Ta'ala says, go, the person of Medina, today go there. Yes, because even a great action is taking place there. Where? In the land of the non-believers. From Medina, He's coming to the land of where there's no faith. Though today, Allah's rahmah will be shown and demonstrated here in this town. It's not a joke. So then, He stated, when the people assemble together just for the sake of Allah, they have no other intention to except for the dhikr of Allah, to assemble together. That's why I travel. That's why they have traveled. That's why they sacrifice their holidays, comfort, luxuries, days off, for dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. If somebody asks them, do you do dhikr every day? No, I don't do it every day. No, they're not used to it. They don't do it every day. Just this day. Because they haven't been introduced to dhikr. This gathering of mine, they don't know about it. Maybe they don't have that much interest, but today Allah has created so much interest that maybe they've, for that reason, they've left their whole city and town and travelled. If this is not Allah's mercy, tell me what else is it? Either all of you are Sufis, you do dhikr every day, you do dhikr all day long. No. The majority here in this gathering, I think, are probably those who are not, you could say, aware of dhikr that much, or don't do dhikr in their life. And their pastime in the day or night during their lives is not dhikrullah. Probably. Majority. Is this the case or not? Tell me. This is Allah's mercy. What is Allah going to give to us today? Manadius Sama, Allah says, when the people gather together, then one of my angels in the heavens, Allah instructs him, announce in the universe. When we announce, the announcement just go, if I announce from here, it'll go to the far reaches of the wall, or maybe it'll go to other cities. But when Allah announces, the whole universe, every particle hears the announcement of Allah. Every particle, remember this point. Remember, when Allah announces something, just like five times Allah announces, come to Salah. Who is announcing this? Allah. And you think it's we who's listening to Salah? Adhan? No, every particle of dust in the universe will testify. Allah called you, Salah time, Allah called you, and only these few people came rushing to Salah. These people put their shutters down and closed their shops. Only these people left their beds to go to Salah. Oh, no, he just newly married, it was the first night, but he knew it was Adhan, and the Fajr, he heard that as Adhan, he left his bed and went to Salah. This is called La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the meaning. Until you don't have this feeling, Allah is calling, inviting, our Lord Almighty is announcing to us in our heart. This is practice, Allah is making us practice. Allah is announcing, calling, inviting. And it's such a call, the adhan, the call to prayer. Immediately when the adhan takes place, every Muslim in his heart, then his iman shakes in the heart. Basically, even if he doesn't hear adhan, but definitely from his tongue, he says, is it time for salah? He asks. Wherever he is it time for salah? Maybe, yeah. Is the time come yet? He asks. He questions. Doesn't it happen? Why? Because unconsciously within him, the reverberation of the adhan is reaching to his mind and heart. It's not the announcement of the world. Whose announcement is it? Allah's announcement. Allah's announcement. Same way, Allah, when he announces, similar now, we use that example, it's Allah Ta'ala's call, announcement. Everything, every particle, every atom, manadi as-sama, the angel, Allah says to the angel, call out from the heavens, and to the depths of the oceans, Allah's announcement goes. To the spiders, to the insects, to the leaves on the tree, even the small, minutest creature, the seven layers below the crust of the earth, they can hear the announcement. What's Allah announcing? That these people who are gathering, like we are today, these people, Allah is saying, they're gathering, not to us, because we're not listening to this announcement. We're not listening. Allah says, introduce these people to the far wide corners of the universe, that when they leave this gathering, then the dunya will treat them differently. And the wind will treat that person differently. Subhanallah. All of the creatures and the creation, they will start to treat and approach that person differently, because Allah has announced about that person. What does Allah want to say? This is not some small scale gathering you've come to today. Remember this point I'm saying. It's not some minor gathering, it's Allah's announcement, you're included in that. Right now, so valuable are you as creatures, human beings. The whole of the universe is focusing on you. Now, the whole universe is paying attention to this gathering. This small, small young child who sat here, who doesn't know anything. You are different people now, you're transformed. Angels are envious of you. The earth crust and the heavens and skies envious that Allah, these were deviated people that you should have given instruction for us to give them punishment. These were those people whose houses we should have burned down. They don't pray Salah. They don't pray Salah Allah. The creatures complain. Allah, their household circumstances are negative. Their lifestyle is against the thing. You said to these people, follow my prophet. They don't follow your prophet. They've changed. They've gone away from the deen. They've left the Quran. They were deserving of punishment. What were they doing before this gathering? They're subhanAllah, you've made them now the people of lofty status in the universe. وَمَا ذَلِكَ بِالْعَزِيزِ Allah says that who can prevent my mercy? This is the demonstration here that we are sat in today. And the whole dunya, this is happening. The whole dunya, people are included in this gathering. It's not just here, we're sat in Bolton. Many people around the world are listening to this gathering. Joining. And the angel announces, based on Allah's instruction, the whole universe, particles, atoms, cells here, you have been introduced to them. The whole universe has been introduced to you. Ibn Falah, this person, son of this person, this person, son of this person, daughter of this person. What are they doing? Allah says that, listen, I announce, I've forgiven these people. Allah announces. Allah says, these people, I've forgiven them. But Allah says, the creatures, the angels say, Allah, they used to shave their beards. They were going into hell. They opposed the Nabi. And the sisters, they don't observe parda, segregation. Oh, they've got televisions in their home. Nakedness. They have two faces. They're two-faced, they're hypocrites. Outside there's something, inside their homes there's something. In the masjid there's something, outside there's something. Ramadan there's something, after Ramadan there's something else. Don't take bad what I'm saying, please. Don't take negativity. I'm just speaking about the reality of our lives today in the world. Please don't take it badly, negatively. And these are, mashallah, this boy who recited this nasheed, that last night that he recited, beautiful words. We cry. We do cry. Yeah, we present our needs to Allah, but let's look ourselves inside ourselves. What are we ourselves? Allah Ta'ala doesn't do dhulam on anybody. Allah Ta'ala doesn't oppress anybody. And dhulam, Allah says, how can I oppress the ummah of my Habib? Allah says, give them chance after chance after chance. Even now Allah has given us a chance. An opportunity. So then, the angels, when they hear this announcement of the angel, they say, Allah says, all the people are invited and they responded to my call. They came to the masjid. Just like they respond to Adhan. Allah says, by announcement, is I've forgiven them. They are forgiven beyond forgiven. I've forgiven all of them who are in this majlis. Allah says, Tabad, I've changed and transformed all of their wrongs. Allah says, I'm ghafoor. By my rahmah, mercy is there. Yes. Allah says, when I demonstrate my rahmah mercy, I don't just forgive. Rather, I give them a reward on that. That all of their sins and mistakes, I change them into good deeds. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You can give millions and billions. But when we have to stand in the court of Allah on the day of resurrection, will we be saved? You can give millions and billions, Allah, I've given for your sake, fi sabilillah, but Allah, please forgive me. But, for example, will you be able to pay money? Will Allah forgive based on payment? This dunya, Allah said, I gave to you for this purpose. Do you understand what I'm saying? So today we should rejoice and enjoy. That, mashallah, I don't know what food they've made, that they should have made beautiful, delicate food for the guests that have come today. This is an honor, such people who have, Allah has announced their forgiveness. It's an honor to host them, to see them is an honor. If a person comes from Medina, Makkah, Haji Sahib comes, we go and see his face, he has light on his face. This is the case, isn't it? So if Allah is announcing in the heavens, I've forgiven these people in the gathering, to look at that person's face is ziyarah. Honorable act. We think, where did you go? I went to the gathering. Well, as dhikr, you don't know. You have changed. You are changed people today. Completely. You are great people. Allah Ta'ala has given you the title, the Almighty Allah. Seriously, look at your status. And you shouldn't just leave like that then. What should we do? We should be grateful. We need to make Allah happy that He's given us this announcement. How do we make Allah happy? Allah isn't happy from any other deed, not from your salah, not Quran recitation, not through dhikr, no action. Allah is happy when we imitate His Habib, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Qul in kuntum tu'ibun Allah. Oh my beloved Habib, Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Imran. Oh my beloved Habib, Allah didn't have to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell us. Allah could have told us directly. For this reason, because Allah wanted. He wants that from the blessed tongue of the Prophet ﷺ, he praises himself. Oh my Prophet Muhammad, you tell the people what is your status in my eyes. What is your rank of your nabuwat, your prophethood? And what is your great status? You tell your ummah with your own blessed tongue. Tell them who you are. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Tell them, my Habib, said Allah. Why do you pray salah? To please Allah you pray salah? Why do you go on hajj? Why do you go umrah? Why do you keep fasting? Why do you give zakat? To please Allah, Allah says. You think you're doing this to please Allah? Allah says, no, this is Quran I'm reading. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, you're doing worship and prayer to please me? Why do you pray salah? Oh, I wanted to please Allah. That's why I pray salah, so Allah can start to love me. Allah says, no, this is not the way. Allah says, I do not care about your prostration and salah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. فَاتَّبِعُونِي Allah says. Allah says, if you want to attain my love, O believers, O Muslims, then my beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell the believers. How? If Allah says, if you Muslim want to attain my love, then fattabiuni, you must obey and imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Faqad ata Allah, to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in reality is to obey Allah. There's no other criterion. Shall I do this? Shall I praise? It's necessary, not necessary, it's big or small. No, fattabiuni, end of story. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, we will do it. The Prophet wore the Dhoti Sharif, we will wear the Dhoti Sharif. The Prophet wore the blessed turban, we'll wear the blessed turban. Our basis of the life of a Muslim is one. The Prophet did it, we will do it. End of story. No questions asked. Where will we do it? In Makkah and Medina only? No. In all the corners of the world where I've sent you to live, Allah says, where I have written your rizq, your wealth, you have to attain and earn your wealth, that you must demonstrate your deen. Me, my wife, my children, all are slaves of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then your salah will be accepted. Then your sujood and prostration will be correct. Then your recitation will be accepted. If you cut your beards, if you spoil your face and you change your libas, your clothes, and change your bodies and try to please Allah, Allah says, more than you, stupid nation, there is not on the face of the earth. There is no more stupid nation that Allah says, I've given you the great Quran from Alif Lam Mim to Surah Nas. I guarantee you now, saying to you today, if every verse, if I cannot prove obeying and imitating the Prophet, shoot me with a bullet. I challenge you now. Shoot me with a bullet. And I will forgive that blood that flows. From Alif Lam Mim, Surah Fatiha to the end of the Quran, Surah Nas. Every verse, if I don't prove the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then come and complain to me. Subhanallah. Shall I tell you? Come. Every verse I will prove the Sunnah. Not look at the few verses in the Quran. I can show you every verse, tafsir, tells us to imitate the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the Quran Allah has given to us. We are saying that we are belonging to the nation of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Subhanallah. But through his way only we can reach to Allah. This is called tawbah. To change, to improve, to attain Allah's pleasure. Now Allah says, if you want to please me, then speak about love. Allah goes beyond that now. Allah says, you want to make me happy all your life long, you're praying salah, sujood, prostration, doing other deeds, worship, prayer. Allah says, just do one action. Do whatever my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to you in his life, imitate him. Follow him. And then, Allah says, you don't need to look to me. Allah says, I will make you my beloved myself. Yuhibbukumullah. 40, 50, 60 years you sinned, I'll forgive them. And you keep the beard, wear the imamah, wear the Islamic dress. If you come to me, Allah says, you are a human being. Obviously there will be mistakes, you'll make errors and sins. But when I see your form, your beard, your face, your libas, your clothes, I will say that he's ummati of the Prophet, and forgive him. Subhanallah. Today, mashallah, he was an empty box, this brother who recited Shiba. He never left the imamah. He's got the full beard. And he used to wear the libas of the Prophet ﷺ. And this was his selection. That he took hadith, he selected hadith. What was the clothes the Prophet ﷺ wore? What was the color he liked? This was his job, his duty. This was his, you could say, task. And these are all hadith, narrations. These are all narrations about how the Prophet ﷺ lived his life. Yeah? Allah Ta'ala in the Quran has given the responsibility for this. And the first mufassir of the Quran is who? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the first commentator of the Quran. The first mufassir. Explain of the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala on the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said, I will preserve the Quran, protect the Quran. And so definitely Allah has promised to preserve the tafsir of the Quran. The meaning of the Quran. Both things. The physical Quran, the words, and the tafsir. And today people say that the qawm will be created. We just believe in the Quran. We believe in the Quran. The Ahlul Quran. This is foretold. And they say that we believe in the Quran and that's it. No adab, no punishment. Allah Ta'ala has promised that the ulama, respected scholars have said, that they were mufassils first. The tafsir that were presented of the Quran, that person presented that. And from that, after that comes the hadith. Yes, so there's order in the Quran, pray salah. How do we keep the fast? How do we give zakat? No details in the Quran. No details. The details we get in the sunnah. In the sunnah. And but we've forgotten our lesson. The noble companion, Sahaba Ikram, gave us the lesson. We've forgotten that. Yes, we forgot in all parts of our life. This lesson is not taught anywhere. Sunnah, the lesson of the Sunnah is not taught anywhere to the Muslim following the Sunnah. So then, today what's happened to us is that without intention and sincerity, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven us. We want to make Allah happy. Just like the Quran, if we do that, every person should leave this gathering wearing the blessed imamah, the turban. When you go and sit back on your couches, then you should have imamahs, turbans on your heads, so that the angels give you salam, that definitely these are the people forgiven. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهَ فَتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. You're not just forgiven, but now you are the beloved servants of Allah, because you have repented and turned to the sunnah. It shouldn't happen, but I'll say this, if only that, subhanAllah, what a beautiful death if it comes like that, in that form. Imam on our head, we have the beard and the announcements made about our forgiveness. Isn't this right or wrong? Tell me. Is there greater death than this if we attain it? It's just a few days and minutes of drama. We know where shaitan and a few days will go, imam will come off the head, etc. But Allah, if we make him so happy today, we wear the blessed imam at the turban. Do we make that promise, brothers? Put your hands up if you promise to Allah to follow the sunnah. Subhanallah. Otherwise Allah will say, put your hands down. Allah will say, they're so ungrateful, these people, that I am saying to them, you must follow my Habib, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I'll be happy with you, and they're refusing. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sunnah is not some small deed. It's not a minor. People ask today, and they say, oh, it's a minor. The pious predecessors say, the way that the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took his shoes off, or you put your socks on, or you come into the masjid, at that time, if you take your shoes off, put your shoes on, in that sense, that the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnah was this. He took his shoes off like this. He put his socks on like this. And I've seen that, people, that mashallah, I've seen 3 or 4 deaths, people are coming to the masjid, they die. Yeah, what did I see at that time? I saw in this masjid, in Masjid al-Rahman, and in another masjid, they come in, but they don't leave. They pass away. They stood there. I watched. 1 foot is in, 1 foot's out. And he said to his wife, I'll come back quickly after Salah, get ready. Sunday, day off, we'll go to have food at the restaurant. I'm just going to quickly pray Salah and come home. But he didn't. He didn't go back. So at that time, if death comes to us, and you're taking the shoes off according to the sunnah manner, then the pious elder said that if he dies right then, practicing the sunnah, subhanallah, then he becomes the beloved of Allah at the time of death, because Allah has promised. Allah hasn't said that all your life you have to do that. Any sunnah you're implementing of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any sunnah you're implementing, 100 martyrs reward immediately. Yeah? مَنْ أَهَيَا سُنَّةِ إِنْدَ فَسَادُ الْأُمَّةِ. Today is the era of fasad, disorder, confusion. مَنْ أَهَيَا سُنَّةِ إِنْدَ فَسَادُ الْأُمَّةِ فَلْهُمْ أَجْرٌ مِئَاتُ الشَّهِيدِ. Is this not the hadith? 100 martyrs. 100 martyrs. We drink water. Sit down to drink the water. Get the reward. 100 martyrs. Sunnah. I say this regularly, this event that happened. I say it regularly. One person came, salesman, and he knocked on the door. I came out of the house, opened the door. He's a young man, looking smart. Salesman. He said, I'm selling things. I said, what are you selling? He said, I'm selling utility, electricity. Switch your provider. He said, I'm selling that. And you know, this many units. You know, different companies we have, they compete with each other, electricity companies. Yeah, they sell the electricity. And I said, I've already got a company that is providing. He said, no, if you switch to us, then you'll get less units and less cost. And I was listening to him, and it wasn't my mood to change or switch the company. I didn't have no mood to switch my electricity provider. When he spoke so much, he got tired. He said, I think you aren't going to take the electricity from me. He was a Muslim. I said, yeah, I think so. I have no interest. He said, okay, can you give me one glass of water then, please? I said, of course, definitely, I can. You can have tea. He said, no, just give me some water, please. He was thirsty. I went inside, and I took the glass of water back out to him. And it wasn't even my mind what was going to happen. As soon as I gave him the glass, he sat down on the ground and drank the water, following the sunnah. And I said, have you drank? I said, please come in. I said, please, I'd like to purchase your electricity. I said to him. I gave him water, gave him food, and I give him respect. What is he doing? He said, why are you giving respect? I said, who are you connected to? I said, who are you connected to? Who are you connected to? Who's your father? And I realized, he said, my father in Lahore, Pakistan, he is connected to Tabligh Jamaat. Pious, he said, we have a pious household. And I came here to study. And this is my story. I said, this one sunnah of yours has won over my heart. sitting drinking water until 10 years. So electricity was the units of that provider. People said, are you mad? Then why are you giving more bills? I said, oh, I've given the hisab to Allah. That he did the action of sitting down and drinking the water. He won over me, mashallah. So the current injected into me at that time, the love. I was so happy, and mashallah, his face was so happy. He phoned his boss. The boss, I've got a customer, I've got a sale. Immediately he got the promotion. So one sunnah to practice that, imagine what Allah gives. Yes, if we imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, see what we get. So people like us, people like you, people like me, if we value so much, then not how much Allah will be happy is announced in the Quran that you are imitating my Habib. So today we have done tawbah. We have repented. Okay? So this gathering that we're in, Allah has invited us to this gathering. And in this gathering, but what's the reason Allah Ta'ala invited us? There has to be a reason, isn't it? There has to be some topic. Let's come to the topic. Just like, for example, you want to do something, then you will give something, they'll say, come to this gathering, you'll have some other objective, you'll invite that person, you'll lure that person to the gathering. For example, you want to, for example, get some money from someone alone. You say, please come to my house, we'll have some food together. I'm just talking like ordinary days. You know, formally, if you want to get something done, worldly achievement. Come, let's have some tea together. He doesn't know what you want from him. You invite him to tea or food. Let's go to that restaurant, have some tea. You're drinking tea, you're talking, he'll feed you. Okay, I'll give the bill. After a while, you say, oh, I've got a need. Oh, can you help me in some way, please? And then, because you fulfill the objective, you invite that person. Same way Allah Ta'ala has approached us, invited us. Allah wanted to forgive us. Allah wants to forgive us. But what did Allah do? Direct, what did Allah say? That let me give them a title. Let me give them a title so they'll run here. And that title is Dhikrullah. Remembrance of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Allah's attracting us here. The real purpose of this gathering has been established on what? Dhikrullah. The remembrance of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala wants to pull us here, to drag us here, to forgive us. Subhanallah. So on that title, on that basis that Allah Ta'ala has called us, his remembrance. What is that purpose behind it? Tell me. What's the purpose? The dhikr of Allah is such a great deed. Think about it. That Allah selected this group of people who are in this majlis today to forgive them. So let's now come towards dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. What is this? That how much Allah Ta'ala has created importance in us for dhikr. Is this today's gathering the importance, or is it in every gathering? Allah says, in every gathering I give the importance. For, if they're gathering for my dhikr, Allah says. It has to be a dhikr gathering. If we do it morning and evening, then morning and evening you will attain the objective. If I do it 10 times a day, then 10 times Allah will announce the same thing. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a hadith. That on the day of resurrection, day of judgment, there will be such a group of people that they will be treated in a specific way. The noble companions are listening to this hadith. Their faces will shine like the moon on the 14th night. I'm talking about the day of judgment. Their group of people, their faces will shine like the moon on the 14th night. And they will be sat on chairs, on minbars made of jewels, precious stones. This is the day of judgment. If you imagine when we read the hadith about the day of judgment, it's so severe. All night, all year, all life long, we do dua. Allah save us. Allah save us from the day of judgment. We do this dua. And Allah is saying, in such severity in the day of judgment, there will be a group of people sat on the thrones with the faces shining like the moon on the 14th night. Sat on the minbars. And people will be envious on the day of judgment. Prophets will ask, people will ask, qawms will ask, nations, that who are these people being treated nicely? Are they shaheed, martyrs? Who are they? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, said, that who are these people? Tell me, Allah will... The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, who will these people be? They'll be treated. That Allah will give them this maqam on the day of judgment, this status. Allah, listen carefully to this hadith. And be happy about coming here today. That this is that nation, Allah says, on the day of judgment, being treated nicely. That from different places, different towns, different families, somebody is Pathan, Gujarati, Pakistani, Sindhi, Urdu speaking, different nations, Middle East, Far East, like the flies and bees, they run to the honey. The same way those people will gather in one place. attracted on dhikr gathering. They will come from different places, far and wide, different languages, different countries. They will gather together. And after assembling, they do my dhikr, Allah says. They remember me. And due to that dhikr, today I'm giving them this status on the day of judgment that the people will be envious of them. 1 minute, let's think. How many people have died and gone to the grave? Should we go the same? Should we go the same? No. No. Learn the lesson, the warning, the reminder today that what beautiful things a person takes from this gathering. Yeah, but people pass this from this world empty for the sake of Allah. This is an opportunity that Allah is inviting us towards today. That dhikr is such a deed, such an easy action, and such a reward, a great reward for an easy action. That from death, the time of death, through the grave to the day of resurrection and the day of judgment, to make us successful, what is that deed? Look, there are three things, three phases. Allah Ta'ala has made three places. One is Jannah, heaven, Jahannam, hell, Dunya, this world. They're all different, separate. Paradise, paradise is enjoyment beyond enjoyment. No difficulty, no stress, no fighting, no dispute, no who will say to you, where are you, why haven't you come home yet? Nobody to remind you. Love beyond love in Jannah. Totally beautiful, soothing and enjoyment. Satisfaction, tranquility, food, drink, enjoyment. Enjoyment, no salah in paradise. No sajda required in paradise. No demands from Allah in Jannah. Total comfort in Jannah. That is paradise. On one hand. And on the other hand, on the other opposite side, Jahannam, hell. Allahu Akbar. The severity of hell. There's one event in Jahannam. You have different Jahannam. You have the different layers. Level 7 parts of hell. And it's stated that to each other they seek refuge from each other. The places of hell. Yes, that the fire of hell is 70 times more severe than the fire in this world. It was white color. The fire, 1,000 years it was burnt more, and then it became red, then it was burnt more, then it became black, and today it's in that position, it was red, then white, then black. And this is the person, may Allah protect, the person who's so delicate and weak. When we're here today, if we get hot in our house, we open the windows, I'm feeling hot, or it's a hot day, where's the air conditioning? And here, we are protecting ourselves for the time being on planet Earth from hot and cold. Prevent and save yourself from that life forevermore. The severity. Think about that. Think about that. Every day we pray janazas, people pass away in front of eyes. That's why we're on this earth. This reminder. That's why we're here. That just from here to here, from our death, here to our death. Every moment we do sujood and prostration, and there's a reminder, that person who runs away from death, he needs to understand what's the objective of life. Just a short distance from where we are sitting to our grave. What will happen there? Jahannam, hell, and pain and difficulty, pus, and scorpions, spiders, serpents, snakes, may Allah forgive in hell. May Allah forgive. Who? Every person, different types of people will be there in hell. People who had connection to Quran, Tawrat, and Injil. All of them. Yes, and those who have Iman today. On one side there's enjoyment, paradise, and on the other hand, there's severity, punishment. And the third place is dunya, this world we're living in now. And in dunya, Allah Ta'ala said, there's enjoyment and there's difficulty, there's both. This is the life Allah Ta'ala has given us, fluctuation. So both things Allah has combined here. Enjoyment, luxury, and difficulty. And to us, Allah Ta'ala is addressing us that this is how you must live. Allah selected this world for us to live in. And here, Allah Ta'ala says, from here you'll be told your destination, to the right, paradise, or to the other side, to hell. It's our choice today. Allah has given us a time span. Somebody is given 50 years, somebody 30 years, somebody 25 years, somebody 5 years only, somebody 10 years, 10 weeks, or 6 weeks of life only. Everyone's got an apportioned time period of life, and that's it. And Allah says, you have to make that decision here while you're living, that where are you going to go in the hereafter? In this dunya, you must determine that. So when we are living here, we'll be decided, are we going to go to Jannah, or may Allah forgive, are we going to go to hell? This is not the case that there's any other destination. We are not going to live here forever. And this is the fight, this is the quarrel. And we, if we see practically our lives, we say, Allah, we don't want to leave this world, we want to live here forever. Yeah? What's a bank? What's a bank balance? This means we don't want to leave this world. What's a credit card? Because I don't want to leave this world. Why do you take a mortgage? Because I want to live here forever, Allah. I don't want to leave this world. You want to live here forever? Allah says, but the call will come right now. Maybe tomorrow. Where will your money go then? When Allah calls. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala says, I've left you. I've given you the probation. The money he earned from haram by lying, deceiving. Allah says, you have to give this up here. Your people after you will eat. And it's lazim, you must distribute that in your inheritance. To who? Those people who thought they were enemies, used to fight with them. That person will take the inheritance money from what he leaves. Try and stop him. Try and stop him. In the world, he's not saying, you're not giving them a penny, you're not giving them a cup of tea. Soon as he dies, that money you earned, you have to give to that person out of inheritance. If you don't, there's azab, punishment. That's the reality of life. As Abu Zar Ghaffari, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he was a unique Sufi connected to Allah Sahib. He left Medina. He left. Hazrat Uthman, radiallahu anhu, said that what you should do is that you go to the outskirts of Medina and live there. Because people they find it a bit hard. Because he used to be a bit severe. Why are you wasting money? Why do you waste more money than necessary? He used to remind people. He was a very beloved sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Dar Ghafari radiallahu anhu. And this mal, this money that we're for, if we are content that today, tomorrow my death can come. It's today maybe I will remain alive. And the money of a mass, maybe 10, 15 pounds is in my pocket. That's enough. I might pass away tomorrow. So what a beautiful life that is of the believer. Is there any quarrel? Any fight? Do we have to take interest or loan or beat someone up to get money? No. We fight and quarrel because we want to live here forever. Definitely that's the reason. Definitely. Yes. Because we've made a plan. I'll have a son, a daughter. I'll give her a house. My daughter get married. I'll give her the jahaz, the dowry. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Such forward planning. We don't know how long we're going to be here. We must clean our minds. We are stupid, foolish today. What's happened to us? So much hard work for this dunya. All of this hard work, Allah Ta'ala said, I kept you in the world. That select yourself. Do you want to go to a hell or do you want to go to paradise? Decide quickly now. Don't wait for a few years. Allah says, Malak of Maut will come, angel of death will ask you the time. He won't listen to you to say, wait, wait. Time is up. The angel of death will come. No, no, my bills or my money. Leave everything now. Come with me now. It's just for the dunya. Allah says, I gave you life in the world for a test. My wife, I'm going to die. What about my wife? Allah said, I didn't give you wife and children to and dunya. There are two things we combine. Allah says, I gave you poverty for death, for a test. Money for a test. Wealth for a test. Title for a test. I made you imam for a test. Hazrat Sahib, you are for a test. All of your phases of life are a test to prepare for the hereafter. And am I earning dunya as a sheikh or am I preparing for the hereafter? If I'm imam, am I earning dunya or am I preparing for a paradise? If I'm a scholar, am I earning dunya or am I preparing for a paradise? Always, every topic, every day, every one of us have to ask ourselves this question. Allah has given us a test, an opportunity. And do you want to go into paradise or do you want to go to a hell? You are every day confronted, every second you are asked two same questions. Am I right tomorrow? I'm telling you. How many percent am I right? Allah gives you a car. It's a test. It's a trial. Where is this car going? Is it taking you to paradise, driving you to paradise? Or is it for Jahannam? Oh, no, no. Every moment in this life of your life, are you doing your action for Jannah or Jahannam? Every second you're being asked. Yes. Allah gives us some animals or food or money. It's all a test. I don't know, is a daughter coming, son coming, whoever's coming from Allah, it's a test. Allah says, make your paradise or make with your own children, with your hands, make your paradise or make your hell. And accept from Allah and be happy what is coming to you in your pocket from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be happy with that. Content with that. You should be happy with Allah's given. How can you criticize Allah? No, we don't have time for these things. Yes, whenever in our life a low point comes, immediately we should pull ourselves together. Now, what am I going to make? Paradise with this opportunity or hell? Every moment, second of your life, grab that opportunity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Ask yourself, what am I doing with this action? And this much we should be aware. Every believer who believes this, who accepts this, who recites the kalima, and then he practices on that kalima. Every second. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We oppose that. Every one of us has forgot this. I've become something else today. Oh, no, I'm the same. I just want to earn my dunya. I want to earn my dunya, my money, so I get respect wander around the dunya. People acclaim me, they're behind me. No title, no honor, no dignity in this world. Whatever you get, there is a pure test from Allah that do you want to go to paradise or do you want to go to hell? Every opportunity of life. You become sick, it's a test from Allah. This sickness, in the state of sickness, will he make paradise or will he make hell for himself? The sickness is a ni'mah, treasure, if you make it paradise. Do you know this point? Sickness is a great gift of Allah, present from Allah. You can earn paradise with sickness. We're scared and crying and complaining to Allah. Do you think then they're saved? No, they are ungrateful. You cannot be saved. So why don't we earn Jannah? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if you are sick, then recite 40 times, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. Either you'll be a shaheed, and Allah Ta'ala will forgive you if you're a shaheed. So why don't you take the opportunity in the sickness? Why do you forget that? That the sickness isn't that if, for example, you get a flu or a headache, you're sick, you're unwell. Start doing 40 times recitation of this kalima. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. Any sickness you have, if it's come, disease, that's it. It's a great opportunity on this sickness for you. Either you're a shaheed or Allah Ta'ala will forgive your sins. Subhanallah. Every opportunity of life is a test. Everything, situation, you have to decide. You want to go to paradise or to hell? Do you understand what I'm saying? So one verse, if I can remember it, I'll share that with you. Lots of enjoyment we'll get. So have we understood everything up to now that I've discussed? Now we need to decide. Do we want to go to paradise or astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah? Do we want to go to the other side? Put your hands up. If you want to go to paradise, put your hands up. True, solid promise? Okay, fine. So how can we go into paradise then? Nafs, shaitan, ego, desires, dunya, don't pray salah, don't do this. What shall I do? How do I go to paradise? Let's read the Quran. What does Allah say? Now Allah Ta'ala is telling us the method to go to Jannah.
وَأُدْخِلَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا
Allah! 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 Allah!
Allah! Allah! Allah! وَأُدْخِلَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا
Allah is saying, do you want to go to paradise? What types of people go to paradise? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, what is it that will take us there? First thing to go into paradise, Allah says, what do you need to go into paradise? What transport do you need? What transport do you need? What baggage do you need to go into paradise? What do we need? Allah says, no chance without this to go into paradise. Allah says, without iman, the Quran says, nobody can go into Jannah without iman. Only the people of faith and belief can go into Jannah. How much iman should I have? How much iman? Yes, according to a small particle, an atom's weight. Yes, a seed, a mustard seed. That much iman, if you've got it, Allah Ta'ala says, I will eventually extract you out of hell. So brothers, this iman, we should value the iman Allah has given to us. You know, La ilaha illallah. It's a great ni'mah Allah Ta'ala has given to us, treasure. For this, ask the Sahaba, the noble companions, the difficulties they went through for Iman, to save their belief. They were laid down on fire, on hot sand, poverty, hunger, dhulam, oppression that was done on them. But they never left the kalima. They never left the deen. And today, let's look at ourselves. One small complaint, small issue happens in our life, we start crying. We come towards disbelief. So first Allah says, Iman. We need, if we've got the minutest amount of Iman, Allah says that eventually one day you will be delivered and taken into paradise. You will be purified. The last person in hell, the last person when he'll be left in hell, Allah say, who's that person? He's calling out. Allah say, call that person to me. And the angel will say, Allah, he's a Muslim, the poor soul. He had kalim. Allah say, call that person. The last person in hell, they'll be washed, he'll be purified, and they'll make his face like the moon. And he's coming from hell. And he'll come suddenly to coolness. He'll say, huh? What's going on here? Allah. And he'll stop there. And he'll sit in the corner. And he'll say, where are you taking me? The last person from hell. He said, this cool breeze, I'm coming towards Jannah. What's going on? Allah will say to him, wherever you come to. Yes. He says, it looks like I've come towards Jannah. MashaAllah, Allah, your fadl, your grace upon me, you've taken me out of hell. Allah will say, fine. And he thinks, that's it. Otherwise, what other reward will I get? In hadith, he said that the last person who will go into paradise, 1,000 palaces he will have. The last person to go in Jannah. 1,000 palaces. In every palace, 70,000 servants. And whores, don't ask the beautiful maidens, don't ask about food, drink. That this is the last minutest Jannati. Various hadith upon this person. Various hadith narrations. The last person to go into paradise. Imagine. That Jannat will be, you imagine that person who preserved his Iman in this world. Who took advantage of Iman. Didn't take advantage of it. But how sad that morning and evening we have Iman. And we're not taking no benefit from this Iman that we've got. No benefit are we taking of this Iman Allah has given to us. What great rewards will be for those people in the hereafter who value the Iman. Iman, belief, is such a great example that Allah, for example, if someone in this world gives you a Rolls Royce, and after 2 weeks, 4 weeks, he stood and you didn't drive the car, he says, why didn't you drive? He said, I didn't get a chance to drive it. A Rolls Royce, when death comes, Allah will say that you did not use your Iman that I gave to you. The greatest treasure. Did you not even utilize Iman? So much hikmah, wisdom in the Iman I gave you. You didn't even see the great colors you could have achieved. You didn't test and get the enjoyment from your Iman. Allah will ask. That's how that person will go into hell, by not utilizing his Iman. Iman, what is the right of Iman? The rights of Iman that Allah has given to us is that you can't just say, I'm a believer, la ilaha illallah, or just praying salah, and you go into paradise. Remember I said to you, the fire, 70 times more severe, the fire of hell. Can we stay in there for a second? And I say, oh, it's okay, I'll go there, I'll stay there, I'll burn there, eventually I'll come out there. Subhanallah, what a great selection. Oh, it's fine, it's a minor, I'll go and burn in hell. You're selecting this. Allah says, if you're going to heaven, amanu wa amalu salihat. Allah says, it's not just Iman. You have to believe. A person who has Iman, what you should do, Allah says, I'm giving you the Rolls Royce of Iman. Then drive it, go London, go on this motorway, put petrol in it, and comfortable, and enjoy that drive. The Rolls Royce, if you go on a holiday, go on good climate, good place, so that, for example, you've got a nice car, you're wandering around, driving, luxury, put your children in the car, the family in the car, utilize it. So if Allah has given us Iman, and we do amal, actions, all the angels are amazed that, subhanAllah, this person is utilizing his Iman. That he's utilizing, he's coming to pray salah. He's using his Iman. He's praying nafil. He's doing tilawat of Quran. And he's, mashallah, going to Umrah. Mashallah, there's nothing stopping him. Practicing him, he's doing good deeds. Then Allah Ta'ala says that I will help that person at the same time. I will assist him. So he stated you should have Iman. Inna ladina amanu, you cannot go to paradise without Iman. You put your hands up, whoever put his hands up wants to go to paradise, then remember, you've got Iman, but use that Iman. Utilize it. No salah should be delayed. Fajr should not be left. Masjid, we must pray in the masjid. Iman, belief, you have to fulfill all of the rights of Iman. Earn as much as you can. Pray nafal salah, extra salah, spend in the way of Allah. And then, subhanAllah, your Iman will take you to the highest of levels. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's it. So after that, Iman. So after that is Amal. First is iman, then is amal. What amal should we do? And no deeds will help us after iman. Allah says, no. The amal you do, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, there must be righteous deeds. And the pious predecessors have done the commentary that was amalu salat. That solely for the sake of Allah, with ikhlas, with sincerity. You have ilm, you are learning ilm, you must have sincerity. There should be no other desire contaminated in that. Yes? And you have fiqh, hadith, Quran, and you're doing it for the sake of dunya, then it's a waste of time. Yes, and then you will not get the reward. Any action you do in the world, it should not be contaminated for any other purpose. Solely should be for the sake of Allah. Solely. Tazkiyah, you start doing tazkiyah, following the path of islah, tasawwuf, to be Sufi. No other purpose. I want to clean my heart for the sake of Allah, to become a good human being. You become a sheikh, and you are to serve the people in the world. And you don't need money for that. I don't need a car for that. I don't need big houses. I don't need nothing, Allah, from these people. Allah, you give me this rank, that status. I'm just speaking that if Allah gives that person a witness, I'm not a sheikh, I'm not a teacher, not a peer. Well, if Allah gives the honor, the dignity, somebody comes a sheikh or a peer, I'm speaking about them. Not me. I'm not that. And those people, what they should do is that they should not treat themselves in the dunya in such a way that they're wasting their time. Yes, they should treat their rank, their status. Allah has given them a job, a role. Izzat, Allah has given them dignity. And they are sheikh or a teacher. They should do their actions for the sake of Allah. Then it will be accepted. Allah said that you became an alim and you did the world. You earned dunya and money. Not for the sake of Allah. Then Allah said, go out. Expel this person. Yes, I gave you ilm, knowledge, to do your own islah. To rectify yourself. What was the other reason? Allah said, when did I say to you that you go and give islah to the people of the world? I selected you. If I want to, then I'll send you in the world to improve people, give da'wah. Who are you to give islah to people? To say that you're better than other people. Sheikh, you cannot improve people without Allah Ta'ala's will. When a person becomes a sheikh, when he's told do the work of the deen, then he's the sheikh. Sheikh, the person becomes when he's told, instructed, that I have selected you. Every khalifa of a sheikh, every khalifa cannot do this action. Remember this point that I'm telling you. That's why I selected the khalifa. That go, I've selected you, go to this place and do the work of the deen. And he doesn't even want to do this. But he selected you, you have to do this now, that task that you've been given by your teacher. If he doesn't do that, then he's wasting the opportunity he's been given. That person. So all this mission, like I said to you, whether you're a sheikh, a scholar, or whatever you're doing in the dunya, Allah is selecting you for the deen. Understand what I'm saying? Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So iman on its own is not good enough. You must have amal. And the amal, the deeds should be righteous deeds with sincerity. When these three things are combined, Jannat. Allah says, تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Now come into paradise, Allah says. Because if you've done these three actions. Do you understand now the point? So these are the three actions. That's it. So you have iman, belief. So we should start using the iman on what? On righteous deeds. Amlu salihat. If you got righteous deeds, then develop ikhlas, sincerity in your deeds. Whoever has done these three in combination, Allah promises, I'll send you to paradise. And you will have all the rabuds, khalidina fiha, tahiyatun fiha salam. Subhanallah. And here the mufassirin, the commentators have written that salam, the welcoming in the dunya, salam, there are two parts to salam. When someone gives you salam, salam is two parts. But in Jannah, when salam will be given to you, there won't be dua, there will be reception, welcome, welcome. O Jannati. Allah says, welcome, Mubarak, congratulations, you've arrived here. Yes, that subhanAllah, there's just one word, salam. We're using it differently in this world, but in the hereafter, it's welcoming to that person, to paradise. Is this the case or not? That's it. Tahiyatun salam. Allah says, you've arrived to paradise. I've sent you into paradise. You have started these three deeds. Promise today, all of us, you are forgiven, I am forgiven. Let's at least promise Allah that Allah in turn we will do this. You've given us iman. Now we'll practice good deeds. Allah, the deeds He has prescribed to us, Fard Salah, five times Salah in the day, men folk in the masjid, praying congregation, Jamaat, Amlu Salat, Ramadan, we'll keep the fast, we'll give zakat total, and Hajj, we've got the status, we'll do Hajj, that's it. That's it, that's the rights of iman that we have to fulfill. Yes, how? If we have iman, we'll pray tahajjud. Iman doesn't say you have to pray tahajjud, pray nafal, extra salah, do talawat, nothing. Just five things Allah Ta'ala has told us to do. And if you, mashallah, the more sugar you put in, the more honey you put in, then the tea becomes more tasty. The more you have passion and desire for Jannah, Allah has left us in an open playing field in the world, given us more options. Allah says, the rest is up to you. Do you want to do more? Say Subhanallah. So at least give some response to what I'm saying. You're just sat here saying quietly Subhanallah. Say loudly such great nasheeds, and you sat there like dumb, you know, saying Subhanallah. No answer was coming. Such beautiful nasheeds and naats were being recited, and people came from so far. The previous ijtimaa, mashallah, there was great acclaim, but no one's speaking now. Yes, so have some taste and passion, desire that you're being taken to Jannah. You have no desire to go into Jannah. Say Subhanallah loudly. Subhanallah, when you say it, a tree is grown in paradise for you. Now, mashallah, it looks like you are Naqshbandi sat here. So my brothers, this is the message for us for today. Via the Quran that Allah has given to us, we have Iman, no problem. We must build on that. We have Amal, deeds, Alhamdulillah. Then you must rectify your deeds. Five deeds. Praise, Salah. Your Salah should be the best. What's the best Salah? In Jamaat, in congregation, in the masjid, on time. Salah at that time. Leave everything else in the dunya at the Salah time. Sacrifice just like Rasulullah ﷺ did at Salah time, we must do. Sunnah isn't just clothes, beard, imamah. Sunnah is any deed the Prophet ﷺ did, we must do that. Every action. First look at how he worshipped. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha said, we were sat at home, the Prophet ﷺ was at home, when Adhan was called, we couldn't see that he was there anymore. So much he detached himself from his home, his family at Salah time. He disappeared. His focus, he didn't even think who's his wife. Suddenly, soon as the Adhan was called, the Prophet, because he detached himself from the world, why? It was Allah's calling, announcing, inviting. Yeah, Allah's announcing, inviting, Salah time. So a person should give his all at the time of Salah. Kick the dunya at that time. If he's driving taxi, kick the taxi to the side. Your program, schedule of life in the day when you're living in the dunya, have some hours for earning according to the Salah times. Keep a job, select a job for the sake of Salah. Allah, I swear by Allah, Allah will give you so much wealth in the dunya. So much wealth and money is in Allah's hands. I'm giving you practical experience of my life. I share with you my experience. That I made a promise, Allah, I have changed now. My life changed. I've come on the deen. Allah, I don't want to be that worldly person anymore, riches, luxuries. Allah, I want to live according to your choice. I'll die hungry. But Allah, I'll do what you say. Who, when I went to the masjid, and I'll pray salah five times a day in the masjid. I made that promise. I will not move from there. And poverty came, hardship came in this country. Hardship came. Low earnings, my wife, my children, there was hardship. Food went down, water down, earnings down, difficult times. How many days can a person not eat? Obviously, my sheikh instructed me to earn halal, lawful, and I didn't go towards social security. I didn't claim. I didn't sign on. I said, no, I'm going to do the deeds that my sheikh told me to do. I have to pray salah in the masjid, and I'm not going to leave this country because my sheikh sent me here to spread the deen. So I have to do both. Allah was testing at that time, Allah, after some tests, after trials. That job Allah gave to me, that career, that business, that not just did I pray salah, I was imam at the same time. Imam. Not 1 year, many years, in a few places the masjids open. In the city center, Manchester. Even today those masjids are running, and Allah knows best. The how contented he is. That when Allah Ta'ala, when you submit to him, that I, Allah, will not disobey you. I can't run this shop. This is not lawful. My salah will go. I will do Allah, then I'll have to leave this job because I have to prefer my salah. Because at that time, when salah time, there's no greater deed in the universe than when salah time comes. No worship is greater. Insan should be alert, stand alert. Salah time, so much alert that detach yourself from all the people and the dunya that you know. After iman, you have to, iman is something to be implemented practically. Inna ladina amanu wa amilus salihat. Totally. If you're not doing this, then you will fail. You came to me for this reason, to learn one thing. We are not going to do any deed that's against what Allah Ta'ala is saying. I will die hungry. Die hungry. Why was I instructed then? If I'm not going to implement. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm testing you. I'm challenging you. Though after this order, are you making paradise? Like I said in France, Allah said, Allah, I want to make paradise. I'll stay hungry. After this hunger, I will die and I'll come back to you, Allah. Yeah, I said, no, I want to pray salah. Yes, some people said, Yaar, what are you doing? You have to earn money, run your shop. It's not that severe deen, strict deen. I said, do you know more than Allah? I said, do you know more than Allah? Do you know more than Allah? That deen is made from salah. They said, not strict. Big fatwas, leave salah, delay your salah. Islam is not strict, mashallah. Islam is not strict. Subhanallah, ulama today give fatwas to make deen easy. Oh no, 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 it's too hard. We're living in a bad time, bad generation. Allah said, do you know more than Allah about the bad times? You know more than Allah, do you scholar? Do you know the decisions and you give fatwas against Allah Ta'ala's decision? He was shocked when he looked at me. He said, Allahu Akbar, what is this you're telling me? And this is how he sells his deen in the world, to make people happy. No, yaar, sisters don't have to have hijab here. It's too hard in the UK. Then why did you come here then? Why did you come if it's too hard? It can never go against the deen of Allah. The test is here for sure. It is hard, but after that it's paradise. We have to do what Allah Ta'ala has instructed. That's it. End of story. We'll die, but we will follow what Allah Ta'ala has ordered us to do. If you do this, if you compromise, oh, you don't want to pray salah. But I said, others should say that I'm going to pray, whether you give the job or not. Oh, Sharia says this. This is our Sharia. Allah's orders come, that's it. I will not go opposite to that. Say Subhanallah. This is Iman, sahih utilization of Iman. And this is called Iman belief. And the people said to the Sahabi, we will beat you, cut you up, make you shaheed. He said, fine, do that. And if you say bad to your Nabi, once we will leave you. And he smiled at them, the Sahabi. Not one body, many times over you can take my life, he said. But I am alive for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow him. This is the Iman the Sahaba taught us. Bilal was told that don't take the name of Allah, leave Allah, and we will free you as a slave. He said, Ahad, Ahad. And they took him on the hot smoking rocks and sand. And then Abu Bakr Siddiq came. He said, do you want to sell this Bilal? And they said, are you mad? Why are you buying Bilal? He said, I'll give you the money. Abu Bakr Siddiq, the whole universe is witnessing this. That from poverty, hunger, destitution, when I went to Hajib, I said, I will not do this job or career in which there's no salah. My life has changed. I've come to the deen. And eventually a time came when I went, wallahi, I tell you the truth. I was stood there in the Arndale Center, new shopping center in central Manchester, big shops, market, and my wife's with me. I said, what's this dunya here? I had no pound in my pocket, no taka in my pocket. Just went there with the pram, with the children, and I'm in a bad state, thinking what to do to earn. A man's running to me. He said, are you Faruqi Saab? I said, yes, I'm Faruqi. He said, Allah. He said, I was waiting for you for a long time. Here's the keys for your shop. I said, me? Keys? He said, I know you very well, Faruqi Saab. He said, listen to me. He said, you Faruqi Saab? I said, yeah, here, take these keys. This is your shop. Arndale Center, Central Manchester. A fakir is being given a shop to run, to keep. I said, I can't leave salah. I have to pray my salah. Yes, I have to pray in Jamaat. And I could get many jobs. I had degrees from universities. I had big jobs I could have taken on. And I'm not showing off to you. I'm not praising myself. I'm just giving you experience. We should be staunch and staunch on the deen so Allah accepts us. How much will a person die? How much did I die? Did I die in hunger, destitution, poverty, hardship? And eventually Allah removed that difficulty. It was a Saturday. And he came to me and said, take these keys. People are stood here to pay you. He said, lift the shutters up, open your shop. And I said, what do I have to pay you? He said, nothing. I said, how can it be? He said, that's it. He said, just do dua for me. I heard your duas are accepted when you do dua. Please do dua for me, he said. I said, Yaar, have you got belief? He said, I bought a factory. It's not running. Just do dua for me. Raise your hands there. Here's the keys for your shop, he said. I said, go, Allah. And his biggest shop became that time. And even today, after that, he's got a manufacturing factory, so much his business running, the whole Manchester, mashallah, his name would spread. And suddenly I stopped there, وَمَن يَتَقُلْ هَوْ يَجَلَهُ مَخْرَجَ. I understood, I said, Allah, today the result has come. Hey, he said, take the key, this is your shop, it's my shop. I took the key, and mashallah, I didn't delay. I said, what shop is it? And then I said, why should I be afraid and hesitant? Allah's giving to me. He said, this is your store. Today is Saturday. Lots of stock will sell. I'll explain to you how to run the shop. And then I listened to him. He told me, I had no money, no stock. He said, hey, here's the shop for you. He explained how to run it. 30 years I ran that shop, mashallah. 30 years, mashallah. various people came, became Muslim, Yahud became Muslim. One salah in that 30 years, there's that brother here next to me, who was with me in that shop when we ran the shop. Tell me, one day, mashallah, one salah that was left in the masjid. No, not one salah. How can it be? When Allah Ta'ala is saying that what you should do after iman, you should do amal, amalu salihat, Allah explains to us, then we need that deed. How can this be? Never ever can we disobey Allah. Is this solid promise? That we will pray salah properly from today? Yes, mashallah. Pathan is put up, mashallah, the Pathan put his hand up first. Taxi, will you leave and pray salah? Mashallah, many Pathans have come here today. Shabash, well done, he's a Pathan, good person. Pathan, put your hands up, Baba. Put your hands up, Afghanistan, mashallah. Naqshbandi silsila from Afghanistan, it came. See, have you seen that? This is salah. Salah is just one thing. That mashallah, Allah doesn't need our salah, ruku, bowing, prostration. Allah says, I want to see as a tax for you. Just I want to test you, Allah says, test you. That I call you, who responds to my call? That's it. And you could even come to the masjid and sleep, subhanallah. Allah says, I don't want that. Allah says, I know what salah you're going to pray. You don't know anything apart from Surah Ikhlas in your salah. You haven't even learned Quran. You don't learn Quran. You don't pray salah properly. Just repeat Surah Ikhlas, Surah Nas, Surah Falak. That's it. Allah says, I don't want your salah. Just I want to see when I call you to prayer, has that call reached to your ruh, your soul? Do you embrace that? I am your Rabb. You are my servant. Do you respond to my call? Allah says, that's the test. Allah says, you just have to obey me. That's it. That's all I want to see. Do you understand? And this is the amal, action. So Allah says, amalu salihat. Now we have to come to the third step. That's a different process. So Allah says, you prayed, but Allah says, I want to see ikhlas in your salah. Sincerity, that you're solely doing it for Allah's sake. That's very difficult. That's very hard. Allah says, that's what I want from you. Allah, why is He given to us these deeds? So three things we need to do to earn paradise, to go into paradise. Allah says, okay, let me resolve your challenge. So Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkuru Allah dhikran kathira. Do dhikr morning and evening. Here, we come every day, morning and evening. We sit in the jamaat, in the congregation, assembly to do dhikrullah. We sit in the morning, evening. We leave everything at that time because I've ordered you to do dhikr at that time. This is my instruction, Allah says. No job, career, profession, no, nothing at that time. Allah says, I no need to work. I want to see the people who remember me and call out my name. Stop everything you do in the world at that time. And that's what we do. How many of us do that? Yeah, this is the problem. We should be proud. Do we do something else? Do they recite Quran at that time? We don't have time for it at that time. Sorry. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkuru dhikran kathira wasabbihu bukratan wa asila. That time Allah says, I have chosen morning and evening, no other deed apart from doing my remembrance. Allah says, you have to sit. If you sit and remember me in the world, Allah says, I'll remember you in the heavens. If you sit and remember me in your heart to do muraqabah, Allah says, I'll remember you in my heart according to my greatness. And if you remember me in a gathering, Allah says, then I will remember you in a gathering many times greater than that gathering. But we don't want to do this deed. I want to recite Quran at that time. Yaar, what is this? Why are we challenging Allah? Are you a person who can recite Quran so eloquently? No other action will you get barakah at that time because you are forgetting and rejecting the order of Allah at that time. I'm not giving a fatwa. But I'm speaking from sense. Because wherever I spent my time in the khanqah of my teacher, with that wali Allah spent the time, I observed his life, a great life. Never ever did he miss any day. My shaykh, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, even in Makkah, Medina, my shaykh was, that was the time in the morning and evening, muraqabah until sunrise, ishraq time. He never did any other action at that time. Yes, and I learned my deen from my teacher. That time, subhanAllah, the glory of dhikr was something else. And then Allah said more, that person who does dhikr in the morning and the evening, without fail, he leaves all his dunya, world, I won't leave him empty-handed. As soon as that dhikr gathering finishes and he recites two rak'ah nafal salah, Allah says, I'll give him one hajj, one umrah reward. Tell me, is there any reward like this at this time in the morning? Do you get this reward for any other ibadah in the morning after fajr? Tell me, I'll leave doing dhikr and I'll go to that ibadah. That whoever does that deed at that time, show me dalil, any hadith apart from dhikrullah until sunrise, and you rise the salah and get hajj and umrah reward. Tell me if there's anything that compares. This particular time in the morning, this is the hukum order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only for dhikrullah, nothing else. Nothing else. Are you tired? Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is all discussion so we can practice on this deen. We're to go into paradise, isn't it? So this is the method to go into paradise. The right way, do the work you've been given. The sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the right actions at the right time. Don't select your deeds. I want to do this ibadah at this time. That's following the nafs desires. I feel like do dhikr at this time. The time Allah's apportioned for Quran, you can't do dhikr at that time. You have to recite the Quran at that time. Yes. Everything Allah has given a deed at a certain specific time. Dhikr has its own status, Quran has its own status, sujood has its own status. Every deed and worship action Allah has given at a specific time and a specific place. Allah doesn't demote any deed. Quran time, Quran. Recite Quran at the Hajjud time and you are hafiz of Quran. But that time we're sleeping. Hafiz of Quran. Allah selected a time, the last third of the night. Wake up. Pray tahajjud and recite the Quran to me. When Allah says, you will recite, I will listen to you at that time, Allah says. And that time you are reciting to the dunya, when it's dhikr time, in the morning Allah says, I want to listen to your Quran in the last third of the night. Tahajjud time, come. Allah says, recite the Quran, take out the verse you want to recite, recite Surah Yasin, which is the heart of the Quran. Allah says, recite that with your heart, that the Quran have put into your heart. Two hearts, when they connect, then Allah listens to your verses you're reciting. But nobody wants to wake up at that time. Nobody wants to read the Quran at that time. Yes, well, whose eyes open at the Hajj time? Nobody. Say subhanallah. So mashallah, I think this has been a good discussion today. Yes, it looks like mashallah the gathering is alert. So my brothers, my colleagues, Iman Allah has given to us. We should practice that Iman. Do you understand what is Aman? Deeds and amalus salihat. What is amalus salihat? Righteous, good deeds. These three things, where do we get this from? From dhikrullah. When you do dhikrullah, dhikran kathira, Allah says, وَصَبِّهُ بُكْرَةً وَسِيلًا هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ. As soon as you do dhikr, Allah says, Allah and His angels do dua for you, send mercies to you. As Abu Darda radiallahu anhu is a great companion, and one individual, who was another companion, and he said, Hazrat, I saw you in a dream. He said, you saw me in a dream, what do you see? He said, as soon as you leave home, you go out, the angels are stood there doing dua for you, Abu Darda, when you leave your house. They're doing dua for you, praying for you. What deed do you do? And he smiled and laughed. He said, what a weird thing you're saying. He said, have you not read the Quran? He said, I've read the Quran. He said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira, sabbihu bukratan wa asila. Yusallu Allah Ta'ala, if he says, if you remember me abundantly, then my angels will do dua for you, send mercies to you. That's, if you do dhikr of Allah, you will also have that same observation. The angels will do dua for you. But Yari is a pious person. Why don't you become a pious person? Though he's doing the, why don't you do the deeds that our pious predecessors do? And you'll become pious. You should crush your desires. And just like he crushed his desires, you can become a wali Allah. Is it hard? It's hard for you right now. Why don't you become like the wali Allah? Yes, think about it. Each and every one of us should think about this. Allah's made that person a human being. You're a human being. Allah's made him a wali Allah. If you imitate him, what does he do? If you follow him, you'll become a wali Allah. You'll get that status. Yes, observe his life, follow his lifestyle. Yes, that why is he mustajibud da'wat? Why is Allah happy with that wali Allah? Why does Allah accept his du'as? Observe his life and follow his experiences and imitate him and you'll become the same. Do it yourself. Everything is in your pocket. Use it, take it out and use it. Am I right? Yes. So these three things to attain, Iman and Amal Salihat and Amal, Allah says, when you do dhikr as a human being, when you remember Allah, then your Iman gets stronger. In the hadith is stated, if you do dhikr, then your Iman is strengthened and revived. And as soon as your Iman gets stronger with dhikr, it multiplies. That dhikr directly impacts your Iman, directly dhikr impacts your Iman. Allah has given such a system that a person, when he does dhikr, immediately, what does dhikr impact? It strengthens the Iman, the battery of Iman, direct. When you do dhikr, your Iman is strong. And when your Iman gets strong, then your Amal gets strong. This is a sequence. It's a sequence. Allah has made this system. So dhikrullah, when you do it, it will strengthen your Iman. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Say loudly. And listen attentively. The more dhikr you do, the more dhikr you do, the more your iman will get stronger. The more iman gets stronger, the more your deeds will multiply and increase. You will want to do it yourself. You have come here to learn dhikr. Your salah is hard. People come to me. They say, it's hard for me to pray salah. They do dhikr. Then it's hard for them to leave the hajjud eventually. Subhanallah, it's hard for them to sleep in the night. The same man who couldn't pray salah, because from dhikr, his iman was made. From iman, became amal, action. He said, no, I can't pray salah. My children are disobedient. Just listen to me. All day long, these dramas. Allah's given us a prescription. We don't want to follow that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So why do we cry? I can't pray salah, it's too hard. Okay, no problem. Do I try? I can't pray salah. We are here, we're like this. Then if you are diseased and sick, take the cure, treatment, increase your iman, strengthen your iman. Start doing dhikrullah and your iman will get stronger. The more abundantly you do dhikr, that's why Allah has not said in the Quran about any other worship, kathira. Only for dhikr Allah said kathira, abundance, because you must strengthen your iman. Allah says there's no limit to iman if you do dhikrullah. That's why Allah Ta'ala has given limits. Salah 5 times a day, zakah 2.5%. In Ramadan 30 days fast, 29 days fast. But Allah knows that iman, you want to strengthen it without any limit. So if you want to strengthen your iman, the thing that affects your iman, we're affected by environment, society and people, it affects our iman. If for example you go from here to another country, mostly what will affect it is not your health, but your iman will be impacted most. There's more girls here, nakedness here, no hijab here, people have come from outside. It's very hard for them to protect their eyes. There's one person come from a beautiful city, doesn't know haram there, the girls are coming from, somebody's legs are bare. Then he said, where am I stuck? I've come from a place where I can't see nakedness. And iman gets impacted from a change of place. That's why it's stated that when you go anywhere in the world, do dhikr kathir, then your iman will be preserved. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that dhikr, remembrance of Allah, that shaitan, you are protected from shaitan so greatly that just like when you run away from an enemy, run away, you see a castle, a fort, you run into that castle and slam the door shut and your enemy is locked outside. So to run away from shaitan is stated that you want to save your eyes, your mouth, your stomach from sins when it's so common in society to sin. To save yourself, then dhikr is like the castle. Whoever does dhikrullah, he's like he's gone into the castle, he's safe. That's a great shelter Allah has given from dhikrullah. But we don't want to do dhikr. We're not interested. Yeah? Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the impact of dhikrullah. But the third thing, listen to this now, which is most important. We have iman, and we increase iman by doing dhikrullah, to do amal, deeds. And now into your life, amal are increasing, we're doing more deeds. But ikhlas, sincerity, this doesn't come from dhikr. This is a new explanation I'm giving today. This point has just come in my heart right now. If you like it, accept it. If you don't, then leave it. Yes, a unique thought has just come in my mind. That dhikrullah, do you understand, Mulana Sahab? That dhikrullah, it will give you benefit to your iman. Dhikr will give it benefit to your amal, but not ikhlas, sincerity. No, dhikr will not benefit your sincerity. Now what a unique point, lesson. Maybe people will give fatwas when they hear this. Mulanas are here, muftis are here. But I'll teach you this point. So how do we get sincerity in our deeds, in our iman? What should we do? So now further Allah says in the Quran, Ya أَيُّ الَّذِينَ أَمْنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ قُونُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ. Allah says, I've given you iman, do lots of dhikr, your iman will get stronger, your iman will be protected, it will get refreshed. As soon as your iman increases, subhanAllah, your deeds will increase, and your deeds will get to the heavens, and you'll pray tahajjud, and sujood, and signs of prostration on your forehead, and you do hajj, and umrah, and your deeds will increase. But no ikhlas at that time. Riya will be there, showing off will be there, kibr will be there, pride will be there. You will think you're better than other people, you want respect from people, you want titles, you're imam, you're a scholar, you want dunya. For the sake of Allah, you're not doing the deeds. Allah, you are not a wali Allah, for the sake of Allah, you're not doing that. You're doing it for other reasons. Many people I've seen dying, Hazrat, I pray salah, I do hajj, and I pray, give zakat. But in my heart, I don't have that enjoyment, that peace, contentment. What's the reason, they ask me? What's the reason? I can show you people who pray salah. They just pray salah, but their heart is not content. No tranquility. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha qunu ma sadiqin. Allah says the cure for this is separate. There's a different way to get the amal usala, to get ikhlas, sincerity in your deeds. What is that? What is that? That you must go and join with the wali Allah. You must find a sheikh, a teacher, and join with that teacher. That's a unique point that's come in my mind today. Unique point from Allah. Maybe, mashallah, our gathering is so blessed that Allah Ta'ala has changed what I was about to say. That I didn't know this wallahi before myself. How to get ikhlas. I didn't know. I thought dhikr gives everything. Allah says, stop here. Dhikr will give you iman and amal. But ikhlas you must get from good company. If you want to develop sincerity, you'll only get that when you lift somebody's shoes up, your teacher. When you will leave the dunya and you bow and submit to the king and the people in the country and you praise people in the world, Allah says, no, to get sincerity, you must pick the shoes of the wali Allah. You must imitate him and follow him. Follow his guidance. And mashallah, you must listen to his words, his guidance. But we don't do that. Be fana, immersed in him. For who? For the sake of Allah. You should destroy yourself, annihilate yourself, immerse yourself in the company of a wali Allah. And Allah will bring you closer to him for that reason. Submit yourself. Respect a wali Allah. Respect a wali Allah for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. Nothing to do with them. You're not respecting them. Do you understand this point? Did you like that? Whoever liked that, put your hands up. What I'm saying. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. MashaAllah, very great jamaat we have here. MashaAllah, what beautiful. You are forgiven, MashaAllah. Forgiven people. MashaAllah, the forgiven people get these great learnings. So, MashaAllah, we want to summarize our discussion. We want to go to paradise. Allah says, do good deeds. You have iman. Do you have iman? That's good. Then you are jannati. You are deserving of paradise. After that, Allah says, I want good deeds. Do good deeds. And how should we do good deeds? Do dhikr Allah. When you do my dhikr, then your iman will get stronger. When your iman gets stronger, your deeds will increase. We've got that. Third, iman, amal. Both things, Allah says, they'll be weighed with sincerity. If you have sincerity, otherwise your deeds will be a waste. Allah, how should we get ikhlas? Do we do dhikr? No, not dhikr. What should we do to get ikhlas? Allah says, go to the company of the awliya Allah, the pious people, good people. Allah says, this is a hadith, that Rasulullah SAW did a dua, that oh Allah, please give me your love, Allah. Please give me your love via the company of those who love you. Unique learning. Dua Rasulullah taught us that Allah, please give me your love. Allah wants your love. And how do I get your love, Allah? To attain Allah's love, Allah, we say, Allah, please give me the love of that person who you love. Who you love. Do you understand that point? And on the third point is amal, is deeds. Third point is deeds. Which amal is that? That's on the third level. This is that action which will be then done with good sincerity. That subhanAllah, so you get iman, you increase that with dhikr, and then you got good deeds with dhikr, but to get ikhlas when you go in the company of pious people, good people, then your sincerity will come. This is a good point, mashallah, that we learned today. So here, the amal that Allah has given here, the action is for what reason? To attain sincerity is different from dhikrullah. And this is with regards to keeping good company. Oh no, I'll go to wali Allah, they pray salah, I don't need to go to a good gathering. This is bid'ah, shirk, going to wali Allah. Give me the reply. I've just read Quran in front of you. This is a verse of Quran. Qulu ma sadiqeen. What's the reply to that? Allah is instructing us to go to the people of taqwa. So why are we hiding the proof? All of my life, what was I before and what am I now? I am the proof of this verse. Who changed me? The friend of Allah changed me. The wali Allah changed me. I am the living proof of this. I thought I was so big before that. I was rich. I prayed the hajjud, prayed salah, gone hajj and umrah. What did I think about myself? I'm forgiven. I'm pious. And then I thought, I don't need a wali Allah. I don't need a sheikh. I don't need a teacher. Because that person has takabbur. Pride. That's what's in our heads. Yes? We never submit to a good pious person. Oh Allah, umrah, pray salah myself. And then when he meets a wali Allah, then his life becomes different. Sincerity becomes different. The wali Allah, they have no need to tell us, come to me and I'll be your teacher and you need to be my student. They're not greedy. They're not telling us to be their students. Are they mad? They've got their life, they're immersed in their ibadah, their own worship. That's a duty that they've been given, that then the person runs after them, because it's nothing. He has nothing to do with the society. He's not wanting fame or status or to become well known amongst people. He says, I ain't got time for that. SubhanAllah, that's why the makhluk Allah Ta'ala instructs to go there. They don't say the shaykh, pick up my shoes. I don't think any wali Allah, shaykh, teacher wants his students to serve him or stand for me. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It's shaitan, that wali Allah, who tells people stand for me. He's shaitan. He is the worst human being, the sheikh who wants respect amongst the people. He cannot be a sheikh, a teacher, who seeks respect, who says, well, stand up for me, pick up my shoes, and have high hopes for me, and high thinking for me. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He must be shaitan, he cannot be a sheikh, who wants the people to acclaim him. Astaghfirullah. That he considers himself like a rock, like a stone. He thinks he's the worst person. He doesn't want respect. If anyone has praise for him in their heart and happiness, then he cannot be a wali Allah. He cannot be a wali Allah. Subhanallah, that person's heart becomes so pure, clean. Even if somebody swears him or praises to him, he doesn't see any difference. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes? How can a person who is close to Allah, if I stand for me, if I'm here, put your hands together, if I pass by you, kiss my hands, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Shaitan is that person, solid, secure shaitan is that person who even a particle, atoms of weight, he says, I'm sitting on the minbar and telling you this. If a person wants a claim, even if people are upset with me, all the peers, no, they are shaitans. I accept them as shaitans if they want a claim. Solid, proper shaitans who want seat and acclaim and fame in this world. People do this, they have no connection with that. The real wali Allah, okay, if you stand or if you sit or if you give respect, Hazrat, you think I'll be upset if somebody sits in front of me, if I walk past, or if you don't stand? Do you think I've come here to give you exercise? Stand and sit down, stand and sit down. No. That mashallah, if you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. It's up to you. Yes. Is this a hadith? That mashallah, if you are doing it for your, if you're doing it for your health, that what will you give to me if you stand? What will you give to a wali Allah if you stand for him out of respect? He doesn't want respect. He's got that respect already that nobody can give to him. Nobody can give to him. Subhanallah. MashaAllah, angels come and give salam to him. And Allah Ta'ala praises that person. The wali Allah I'm talking about. The true wali Allah. Don't look towards me. Eh? No, no, no. I'm not this. I'm just talking about my sheikh, my teacher. My great teacher. And MashaAllah, what I've learned from him, I'm sharing that with you. I don't need to tell people, pick up the shoes. Oh, no sheikh, no teacher. Never seeks service. But the students do that, maybe they get reward, they're doing it for the sake of Allah, they get some reward. Why should we stop them? It's up to them. It could be he has got ikhlas, sincerity, he wants to please Allah. Allah, this is your faqir, the teacher, and I'm respecting him, I'm serving him. I want your reward from you, Allah. Maybe the student does it for that reason. Yes. But the sheikh has no regard for that. No desire for that. Yes, sometimes he doesn't even go. Yes, so mashallah, when the sheikh leaves, then the students, they go back to the dunya. They carry on their work, their teachings, what they've been, they taught, they implement that. Do you understand what I'm saying? The wali Allah, mashallah, if you recognize someone as a wali Allah, if you stand or you give hadiah or gift, or you'll be upset, what have I brought, what do I give to him, he has a good title, you respect that person more, and the person who's high in the dunya, give more respect. Totally not at all. The wali Allah does not differentiate. The biggest person in the gathering is he who has the most taqwa, fear of Allah, the best student. The best student, poor, miskeen, but the beloved student is that student who has taqwa. He obeys his sheikh's guidance. And mashallah, in the biggest gatherings, he is called forward first. That mashallah, I saw a big gathering, Hazrat Sahib was sat there, Mufti Abdul Sattar Sahib, big Muftis, it was Asr time I think, big ulama, respected scholars, Muftis, ulama, scholars were there, from Medina, Sufi Iqbal Sahib was there. And there was great company, and I was sat there right at the back, according to my status, I used to sit at the back, amongst the shoes. I was there, I was doing muraqbah, big gathering, scholars, Muftis. Hazrat Sahib sat there and looked. And all amongst all the people, my sheikh said, Faruqi Sahib. Faruqi Sahib. I was amazed, surprised that I started shaking, that today I'm finished, that I've done some disrespect, I've done something wrong. I stood up and my sheikh said that Faruqi Sahib, you see him, he's a very good student of mine. Hazrat Sahib introduced me when all the ulama, the scholars came from Medina here and there. When they saw me, Hazrat Sahib elevated my status in front of them. Why? Subhanallah. Allah said, in front of me, taqwa is the important thing. And I consider that this murid, he follows my guidance. Come, I'll introduce him to you. I'll introduce him to you. And that the wali Allah, that's his basis, his criteria. Not wealth, not money, status. One is the heart. Who has come to clean his heart? Who has given the sacrifice? Who follows his sheikh, leaving haram? Who has left interest? Who has left everything in the dunya for the sake of the teacher's guidance? Deen. He is the one who gets and earns more respect. So this is what you get from ikhlas. Where will you get ikhlas from? Sincerity. By sitting in the company of the awliya Allah. And that's what you get from these three things. To attain ikhlas, first is iman and amal, amalus salihat. These three things, you need to do two things. The company of the shaykh and dhikrullah. That's what we learned today. Company of the teacher and dhikrullah. That's today's lesson. So if we want to go to paradise, Allah has told us the path to paradise. And no Mawlana Sahib told us, no Mufti has told us, no Peer has told us. Allah Ta'ala directly has told us in His blessed words that those who want to go to paradise, all those people are going to paradise. These are three conditions. They have iman inside them, and iman is like this. And Allah says, I'll tell you that the deeds you need to do, and then you have deeds like this, and you have ikhlas. And if there is something lacking in your luggage for the hereafter, you can increase it. Allah says, I'll tell you the method. Go and learn dhikr and do dhikr kathir in abundance. In those times, do dhikr that I like for you to do dhikr. At that time, Allah says, do my dhikr, my remembrance. At those times. And if you want to develop ikhlas, sincerity in your deeds, then go and sit in the company of my beloved servant. Take his company, take his sohbat. Take his teachings, as Anas radiallahu anhu, that the first hadith I shared with you. First hadith I told you about dhikr, isn't it? Isn't it? So 2,288 hadith he narrates Hazrat Abu Hurairah. How many? 2,288, as Anas radiallahu anhu. As Anas. And how many years old was he? 8 years old, he was a child. And his mother came. And it was a second marriage, and she got married to Abu Talha. She said, this is my son, O Rasulullah, and he was young, and you are my teacher, Ya Rasulullah, and he is my son, 8 years old. I would like him to hand him over to your service, subhanallah. The mother is saying, mother is mother. First son. And she said, my heart feels, O Prophet of Allah, I love you so much. I don't understand that what gift can I give to you. So my heart feels that my son, please take my son and he will serve you. Day and night he will serve you for the sake of Allah. Please accept him. And the Prophet ﷺ raised his hands and smiled and said, I accept your son. I take him into my service. Allahu Akbar. Say subhanAllah. Imagine what did Anas became. What did Anas? 8 years old at that time. He took the company of the Prophet ﷺ. A holy prophet, Imamul Anbiya, Shaykhul Anbiya, the Shaykh of the believers, the Prophet, and that young child, 8 years old, the whole generation, he became the king of the Arabs. He became the star of the Sahaba. All the Sahaba, the stars. But look at his achievement. Such mothers, such duas, so close was she to her son, that she handed a son over to the Shaykh. Is there any mother like this? Hazrat Sahab? Yeah, such a mother I've seen. SubhanAllah, I've seen a mother like this as well. This happens in the era until the day of judgment. These same examples will take place. And she comes to the Shaykh, Hazrat Sahab, I want to give you my son. I give to you. I've seen that with my eyes. All life long he served. All life long he kept on running with the Shaykh. That time when he was young, others used to enjoy it. Boys enjoying. And he used to run and stand in the shop of his Shaykh. And serve his Shaykh. All the people who learned dhikr, all the people who became Muslims, all the khankas that were running, all of the thawab today on the day of qiyamah, that due to the iman he's getting. That child, he wouldn't go. He wouldn't leave. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, I will not leave either. But he didn't have a father. And he said, mother, sacrifice mother and father more than that. You are mine, O Prophet, ﷺ, please order me. And he stays with the Prophet. He stays everywhere in the day, in the night. Hazrat Anas radhiyallahu is in the servanthood of the Prophet. ﷺ. Great events in his life. Great examples. And that mother comes, Ya Rasulullah. ﷺ. And mashallah, this young child, 8 years old he's at that time. He's not in a high age. Young child. And please have mercy, give love to my son, and please do dua, raise your hands from your blessed tongue. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam raises his hands, oh Allah, please give them wealth, and in their life give them barakah, blessings, give him children, barakah and children. 100 years old he stayed alive, more than 100 years, more than 100 children. And all, mashallah, all of them, mashallah, the fathers would give fruit once, and Anas gave twice his fruit, would give the harvest in the year, twice. This is khidmat, service. And khidmat is a great thing, service. And from here the Mufassirin have taken the point. If you want to do tarbiyah of your children, then go and hand your children into the service of the Shaykh. Assign your children to the Shaykh. And say that you will get akhlaq, you will get sincerity, you will get deeds, you will get iman, and you will get ikhlas and sincerity at the same time. And such MashaAllah, those students will get dua, that the time of dua, tahajjud, the student will become with water for a sheikh, the young child, he smiles and he takes the water to the sheikh and he will smile and do dua. As Anas radiallahu anhu, 2,288, subhanAllah, hadith he memorized. So many hadith he memorized. Hadith, and this hadith of his as well I shared with you today. He was young, oh, my child is gone, he's spoilt, off track. Won't he be off track? Yes, Wali Allah, there's no Wali Allah. Is there no Wali Allah in the world today? The dunya, the planet earth will not stay in existence if there's no Wali Allah. If a Wali Allah passes, another one comes, a third one comes. Every qawm, according to the mizaj, Allah Ta'ala creates a Wali Allah. Where there are people who speak English, then the Wali Allah will be sent there who speaks English. Every generation, every era, Allah sends the Wali Allah. According to the culture, according to the society, Allah sends the Wali Allah. There are people who eat pizzas, then He is the one who allows them and sends them, go eat, take the way. Pizza. They eat the fruits and they eat the luxuries, then Allah Ta'ala sends them the Wali Allah according to their taste, according to their manner. Just like they have the taste and enjoyment, Allah Ta'ala sends a Wali Allah who understands their culture, their language, the way of life. Everywhere in the world you'll get a Wali Allah. They will guide you, they will eat with you, travel with you. According to that generation, that era, that environment, when they go back to their country, he says, this is the Wali Allah, he doesn't know what our peer does, what our sheikh does, they don't know what to do. His style is different. Why used to go back to my sheikh, Hazrat Sahab's doing this. And what did my Hazrat Sahab say? He said that he is not capable of saying these things. That ijazah, he will not speak here. He will give words there, speak there, ulama, scholars will be amazed and they'll remember his words. But when I went back there to the country, my teacher, he didn't tell me to speak there. There's two reasons. One is ilm that you learn from Darul Uloom. Any Wali Allah there isn't there who is not an alim. Remember that. Every Wali Allah is a scholar. How can it be a Wali Allah without ilm? Tell me. They say he was an alim scholar, he's not Wali Allah. I said, it's impossible. That jahil, a person like that who says that. A Wali Allah, there cannot be no Wali Allah who doesn't have ilm. But there are two sources of ilm knowledge. One is dahir apparent, one is batini. Dahir, the source is Darul Uloom, the madrasa, the institute. That you can learn ilm from there. And the person who Allah gives the different source, Allah gives ilm, knowledge, the batin Allah selected, Allah makes him alim as well. And direct Allah gives ilm to that scholar, to that Wali Allah, direct. And both sunnahs meet from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to acquire the knowledge. Both sunnahs. You can learn this. Ummiyi. The Prophet ﷺ, he's a scholar. From Allah, he learns the Quran, he learns the deen, he learns the ilm, the knowledge. Yes, there are two types of ilm. Both ilm he had. And the amount he wants, Allah Ta'ala gives to him. Allah Ta'ala guides that person. The Wali Allah, Sharia, the points come, halal, haram, how to be saved. Otherwise, how can he do tarbiyah of his students? Until he, Allah doesn't make him an alim, he's not a Wali Allah, but he doesn't have a degree, he doesn't have a certificate from Darul Uloom. But those people who are backward and illiterate, they give fatwas on him, don't listen to him, he's jahil, he's not a scholar from Darul Uloom. SubhanAllah. And they say, we want to go to him because enjoyment is there in his company. We want to go to his company. That we don't understand your technicalities, you keep on fighting amongst yourselves, scholars. We want to go to the Wali Allah. You keep fighting, but there's enjoyment in Hazrat Sahib's company. No fighting, no quarrel. He introduces us to Allah. He joins us to Allah. Alim he is, and alim is he as well. But we don't talk about arguing, quarreling, disputes. We don't say bad to anyone, say good. Do your work in the dunya and remember Allah and have love for each other. When you are clean and pure in your heart, then the dhikr of Allah will come into your heart. You'll understand ilm, is this right or is this wrong? You'll learn yourself. So why do we fall into wasting our time in debates? Yes, Hazrat Rabi Basri radiallahu anha, rahmatullahi alayha, was asked, she was a great sister in Islam when she was going to Hajj, then the Kaaba came itself and stood in front of her while she was traveling. It's not difficult. You can achieve that status. As a Mujaddid al-Afthani rahmatullahi alayhi was going to Hajj, in his life changed on the way, his Hajj stopped, he delayed the Hajj, he met his sheikh instructed him to do dawah, the rest of his life he couldn't go on Hajj. He was sat there at home, he remembered he didn't do Hajj, and he saw in Muraqbah the Kaaba's come, and the land of the Kaaba came to where he was. Allah Ta'ala did that, kun fayakun, because Allah Ta'ala said, I changed that landscape. Look at his maktubat, look at the writings. This is all of Allah Ta'ala's decision. Allah Ta'ala decides what to do. Allah said, you don't need to go. I will make your land where you're sitting so holy that the Kaaba came there. So, Mujaddid al-Aftani, that's his karamat, his miracle. Mujaddid al-Aftani from our silsila. Mujaddid smiled. Allah, I'm grateful to you that you have made my path very easy for me. Now, every moment I can sit in front of the Kaaba and do muraqabah. Subhanallah, and he saw from his eyes, the Kaaba came to his land and it got embedded there. But the Kaaba is still there, and tawaf's happening there in Makkah. Those who are doing Hajj and Umrah. But subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala said that the Kaaba came to him, people didn't even realize. The Kitab is there, the writing is there, the Kaaba came there. But it's not there that it decreased there where it was. The Kaaba came and he stood in front of him and said, "Oh Rabi, where are you going?" The same Rabi was told that, "Why do you say bad to the shaitan?" She said, "Subhanallah, why should I waste time opposing shaitan? I should do dhikrullah all the time and Allah will erase my status. Why should we argue this person, Deobandi, Brelwi, Ahl-e Hadith, Ghair Muqallad? Forget arguing with people. Do dhikrullah yourself. Allah will teach you the deen himself when you clean your heart. Automatically you will have respect for the deen. Automatically you'll know what's right and wrong. You don't fall into arguments, debates. When you're following the right path, follow the right path. That's it. Don't argue and quarrel with people. Say subhanallah. So that's the path. Sharia, that person who becomes pious doesn't go one inch away from Sharia. Impossible that the wali Allah does any action against from Sharia. No way at all. He takes guidance from Sharia, from the sunnah. And he learns that ilm. It's not his own deen, his own religion. According to Quran and sunnah, every sheikh teaches the tasawwuf according to Quran and sunnah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whoever likes what I'm saying, put your hands up. Let me see at least. MashaAllah, I didn't waste your time. Jazakallah khair. So, MashaAllah, if you've understood today's discussion, first action we need to do, everyone needs to wear imam, a blessed turban, to be grateful to Allah, that Allah has forgiven us. If you have belief in the Quran and the hadith I've shared with you, if you believe in them, the verse of the Quran, my brothers, let's sacrifice ourselves for Allah because Allah has forgiven us today. Allah Ta'ala says, don't look at your sins, don't look at your errors. Let's look at my maghfirah, my forgiveness is greater than your sins. Vast. So don't look at your deeds. Don't count them. I've done this many deeds, this many actions. Allah says, my mercy is greater than this. Why are you scared? Why are you afraid? One individual came, Rasulullah Sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, what shall I do? Sin, so many sins. What have you done? That all my sins are filled from the heavens to the earth. I've not left any sins." Rasulullah Sallam said, "Come here, recite this kalima once, twice, three times." Rasulullah Sallam said, "Go, you are like a newborn baby from the womb of your mother." My brothers, Allah is Khuda. He is our God. He is our Lord. We are the Ummah of Rasulullah. Today, Allah has put mercy on this Bolton town, on Masjid Zakaria. I say, clearly this is a great achievement of this Hafiz Idrisab, MashaAllah, who loves Dhikrullah so much. Idris, chairman, he brought me to this Masjid. Chairman, I said, "I don't want to come here. I don't need, how many days he ran after me, come to my house, knock, 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 knock. Who's come? Idris come. Why is Idris come? Please come for Dhikr." I said, "I don't want to host Dhikr there. I don't want to lead Dhikr there." He's listening probably, he's listening to what I'm saying. MashaAllah, his blessed son here, Mufti Sahib, MashaAllah, very respected for me, he leads here. I said, "I don't want to go to Masjid Zakaria." He said, "Big gathering, you should come there." I said, "I don't want to go to Masjid Zakaria." He invited me repeatedly. He said, "Why don't you want to come here?" I said, "Okay, I tried so much." I said, "Okay, give me a chance." He said, "At least give me a chance." I said, "Okay, very nice person from the beginning." He's saying, "Please give me." I said, "No. No, very straightforward this person is. Very straightforward, I like that." I said, "What is it? Why are you calling me?" He said, "Please do dhikr there in the masjid." I said, "Why should I do dhikr there then? What will you do? What is it that I can do? That people will take us out of the mosque. They are bidati, they are innovation, they are not good people. Why do they do dhikr all the time in the masjid, lowering their heads? Get them out of the masjid," people say. They expel us from masjids, and I don't want to make a khanka in Bolton. I don't want to. Every place I made a khanka, I said, "I don't want to do a khanka in Bolton. I want to do dhikr in the masjids." They will keep expelling me. I'll go to other masjids. They'll expel me from this masjid. I'll go to another masjid and do dhikr. So he said to me, "Idrisab, that please, look, you must do dhikr in Zakaria masjid." He's quite persistent. If he's stubborn, he's stubborn. He's stubborn. Idrisab. "Yes, I know his habits. I know all the habits." I said, "No." He won't listen. He said, "Okay." I said, "Okay, I'll accept if you give me a chance that I do istikhara to Allah." He said, "Okay, fine." I said, "I'll do istikhara." I said, "Okay, come tomorrow, then I'll give you the answer tomorrow." I did istikhara, and istikhara, mashallah, 100% approval. 100%, 200% approval that please come and take me, go to the masjid and do dhikr. SubhanAllah, it's a very great, unique decision, and mashallah, he knew I wouldn't go. He knew that I'm not going to leave my house. I'm not going to do that. He said, "What have you thought?" I said, "I've thought." He said, "What?" I said, "I'm going to do dhikr there in your masjid. I'm going to do dhikr." SubhanAllah. I'm telling you the story behind this masjid. And look at this gathering now. I said, Idris, I will come, I'll do dhikr in the masjid, but I have a condition. He said, what? I said, no person will come. Only those people who come, those who sit with me, I will do dhikr myself. Not my colleagues will not be with me in that gathering. He said, no, we can't do that. He said, where will your jamaat be? I said, nobody will come. None of my jamaat. Even the Bolton colleagues won't come. Students, I'll do dhikr myself. I want to see that what is the impact of dhikr on the people of this town. Allah is truth. Allah is sadiq. Allah is truth. Allah says, whichever earth you sit on, do dhikr 7 layers down and 7 heavens up. The impact is there. 7 heavens up, you can see the light from the dhikr. 7 heavens up. I said, don't want to do a gathering here. I don't want my jamaat here. I want to sit here and do dhikr myself. And see what happens. He was quiet at that time. What should we do? He doesn't want the jamaat to be here. He said, then at least call the from Masjid Rahman. I said, no one will we invite. No jamaat, no colleague, no student. Just me. He said, I said, I'll come from the morning if you agree to this. He said, okay, come. I said, okay, fine. So I came. Yes. I said, one corner give to me. Right or left corner, that will be my corner. This is my corner that I sit there in that corner. Yes, I said, whatever condition, I said, the lights will be put out. I don't do dhikr in the light. He said, okay, fine, we'll dim the lights. He said, what corner would you like? I said, the right side. He said, okay, that's fine, that right side. He said, I'll give him that to you. I said, please, he said, don't, no worries, the majlis of dhikr I'm telling you about. He said, is it? Okay, take the right corner. That's why they removed me from here. That when nobody sits there, he said, dhikr will be done here in this corner. So I don't go to the other side. Then he said, okay, fine. Is that conditions approved? Can I come from the morning? He said, yes, you can come. Okay. So Mufti Sahib came after. First, Mulana Sahib came. I was there and he sat with me. Mulana Sahib, nobody else, me on my own. Muraqabah, meditation in the heart. Yes, then subhanallah. That I was doing dhikr on my own, and mashallah, there's nobody there, just me, myself. And Ubaidullah Sahib, he came, I said, sit here, Ubaidullah. You can sit there. He sat next to me, 2 people. And the Bolton people are surprised, why doesn't Hazrat Ali come? Nobody from Maishah, only just now I gave ijazah. I don't like to have gatherings, big gatherings, and show people are coming. Why do I need a gathering? I have the desire to create that society of good people. To create the society of good people. Not to call people who are already there. I said, that's it. No difference does it make. Alhamdulillah, we do dhikr. The angels are sat there. We'll do dhikr. That the difference was being made though to people. MashaAllah. And in the masjid I'm coming, people are looking. And they said, there's no people here. There's no crowd. There's no group. Now you can see that how MashaAllah expanded from there. First time when I did the ijtama, there was 8,000 people. First ijtama. The difference, the gap between the heavens and the earth filled. Such a great gathering. Never did it happen in Bolton. Never. Where did it come from? From here it started, and it's come to this point today. Yes, I didn't go out there, make an announcement. I didn't print my name on no poster. I didn't give dawah to anybody. What is the dawah? Allah is the one who invites. The Quran invites. And the angels invite. So what need do I have to go out there and give dawah to people? It's not my job to give dawah or announce, nor did Allah say to me. My job is one, to guide people to the dhikr of Allah. Sit down, do dhikr of Allah. I will send people to, I will select the people, Allah says. Whoever I desire, I will send to you. Whoever I desire, I won't send to you. And I will take people out of the masjid. And some who are outside the masjid, they will come inside. Say subhanallah. This such people came to dhikr. They were opposed to this masjid, fighting enemies against this masjid. They came and sat in the front row and they do dhikr with me. And they are surprised as well. Their brothers are shocked that today how comes he is sat in a masjid doing dhikr. And this is Allah Ta'ala's selection. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, His remembrance, and in the gathering of the walis of Allah, Allah Ta'ala selects the students and sends them there. MashaAllah, Mumtaz worked hard from London, but only those people came who Allah Ta'ala selected, you people. Allah's selection, you have come out of Allah's selection. That subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, O my Nabi, I am sending these women, these sisters in Islam, they are coming with my instruction, my guidance, give them bayah. This is the bayah silsila that Allah started from the Sahaba. Whoever I send to the Shaykh, men or women, Allah says it's my selection. Allah says in Surah Mumtahina, that O my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will send the believing women to you. Accept their request for bayah, for pledge of allegiance. And subhanAllah, Rasulullah was the Shaykh, and the women were sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't take the hand in the hand physically. But subhanAllah, the women folk, they are the leaders of the household. Look after your sister, your children, they are akhlaq. It's the women, not the men, who create the ummah. SubhanAllah, but we don't advise our sisters to do bayah with the shaykh and teach them dhikr. We come ourselves with the imamah. Why don't you encourage the women to learn dhikr? Your women folk, your wives, your sisters, your daughters. The women make chapatis and eggs and cook for us and give you enjoyment in the night. Is that why you got women at home? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Is that why Allah Ta'ala praise him in the Quran? Allah said, Ya Rasulullah, my beloved Nabi, give the bayah to the believing women. Is this the case or not? Is this no instruction? Yes, does Allah talk about the pots and pans and washing the dishes and cooking the food? No, the first promise Allah gives. Who's the promise to? That don't do shirk of women. Shirk? Mu'min, believer do shirk. But the mu'mineen, Allah saying, Ya my Nabi, the mu'mineen, believing women will come to you, take their pledge of allegiance and make them promise that don't do shirk. So we are reading Quran, we are going to do bayah. Allah is introducing us mu'min, but Allah says that do tawbah from shirk. Shirk. But how can we do shirk? Shirk means idol worshipping. Worshipping the idols. Worshipping gods. What does that mean? Allah Ta'ala is saying, don't do shirk to the shaykh. So shaykh understood Allah Ta'ala's meaning that this person is a mushrik. From top he is a mu'min, but inside he is a mushrik. Some people, they worship the idols from outside and they're caught. But this person has got idols inside and he's worshipping the idols inside. The Muslim. SubhanAllah, there are two types of mushrik. Listen to this carefully. There are two types of mushrik. One is the mushrik who apparently brings the idols in front and prostrates to them. They are the disbelievers. The disbelievers. And the real mushrik Allah is addressing, that person has put the idols inside him and he doesn't obey Allah's order. So the disbeliever, he worships physical idols and the believer has idols inside. He says, Zahiri, I'm a mu'min, but inside he has idols. Allah says, when will your idol not come out? It will only come out when you take bayah with the shaykh. Then you will break the idols. Understand the points I'm saying. They say he's not an alim. They say he's not an alim. A scholar. That's what they say to me. He's jahil, illiterate. He's not an alim. Go to a scholar. Many people say to me, many people have gone, done a U-turn. Why do you sit with this person? One sahab, he said, he's not learned from a madrasa, Darul Uloom. That I have studied, I have learnt, I have got the ilm. SubhanAllah. Yes, so you showed these points that this person takes up. Showed the same points. This masala, that how will you listen? Allah Ta'ala says, you are a mu'min, but he's got shirk inside him. So I'll take you the pointer that he is a mushrik. Allah Ta'ala says, how will the idol come out? That's why Allah Ta'ala says, go to a shaykh and do bayah, and the shirk of your idol inside will come out. And how will you destroy the idol? That if you want to break the idol of a kafir, you can break that by reciting the kalima and becoming a Muslim. But the idol that's inside the Muslim is worse than kufr. But in the eyes of the shaykh, I've given him that power. In his company, I've given him that power. That zahir, he can break his idols and he can break the idols inside the believer. He can break the idols. That wali Allah has given him the impact that he can break all of the idols of society inside that person. And that's a very great proof. What is that? That's the idol of the nafs inside us. The desires. What an idol is that? That Allah calls us in the mu'min to the Muslim. You are reciting La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Muslim. And the mu'min is lying down on his bed and Allah calls the azan of Fajr. Fajr salah is 3 a.m. And he tosses and turns that in the morning I have to drive the taxi. If I go to pray salah, how will I drive the taxi? You understand the tussle? So then he's scared. And Allah's calling, come leave the dunya and come to me in salah. 3 a.m. in the morning, in summertime, Allah says, pray 2 rakah Fajr Salah, and I will take responsibility for your earnings. Somebody's earnings increase, sometimes I decrease, and you are repeating Quran, hafs of Quran, you don't understand the verses of the Quran, that Allah gives the risk, so he's crying on the bed, how will I drive the taxi? How will I go Fajr Salah? How will I earn? I have to live in the dunya, I have to learn my degree, I have to study. How can I pray Salah? And, no, I'll pray Salah at home. Allah says, no, if you pray salah at home, this azab. So Allah says, I gave sharia, I gave law. Only the women can pray at home. Only those who have an excuse from sharia. So what do I do now? Allah's calling me. Which idol is stopping him? Who is he obeying? The idol of the nafs is saying, sleep, my friend, sleep. Because if you go fajr, you can't earn the money. You can't go to work. Allah says, you've become a disbeliever. You have not followed my order. You have followed your nafs. That person dies and he will be raised with the dangerous mushrikeen and disbelievers. Janazah will take place physically, but in that janazah, after that, when he goes in the grave, then from his mouth will come man rabbuka, he will say money. Man rasulaka will be asked money, he will reply money, and he will say taxi, because this was, and he will be thrown into Jahannam, hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. Now see who is mushrik, who worships the idols. When Allah's order comes, you sacrifice everything in the world. Whoever doesn't sacrifice is a disbeliever. He's worshipping the idol of nafs inside him. Only two orders can be followed. Either Allah's orders you follow, or you follow the orders of your idol, the nafs inside you. That's it. Come out of that. Whose order should we follow? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is our Rabb, our Lord. His name is Allah. And He is in the heavens. And all orders of Allah run in the universe. Even His orders run in this dunya. Oh Allah, the mercies You've given to us in the heavens, please give it to us on the earth as well. Allah, You are the Lord of the pure people. You are the Lord of the pure people. Allah, please make us pure as well. This is the dua that I'm telling you. So I'm telling you the dua from the hadith. What a beautiful dua of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah is saying, go, that break the idol of your nafs inside you. Who will break the idol? When you submit yourself as a student to the sheikh, to the teacher. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi said, in reality, taking bayah, pledging allegiance to a sheikh is fard ain. Every Muslim in the ummah must do bayah with a sheikh. Hazrat Akim ul-Ummah said this. Fard ain. Otherwise, why would he take bayah? Why did Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib, Akim ul-Ummah, he was an alim, big show alim. And he went to his sheikh who wasn't an alim. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Sahib, his sheikh wasn't an alim. But subhanAllah, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib said, today I became a scholar when I took bayah at the hands of my teacher. Why? Because Allah has instructed us, the idol of your nafs will not come out. The idol of takabbur, pride, tell me how dangerous is pride, anger. Thousands of idols are inside us. Allah says, go and break these idols of sin. Allah says in Surah Mumtahina that my beloved Nabi, the believing women will come to you to take bayah, to pledge allegiance. Is this case or not in this verse? We read this verse in the Quran. Why did Allah send the believing women? They've already got iman. So go, Allah teaches us that go to a teacher, a sheikh, he who's a Muslim. When you go to a wali Allah, you give your hand in his hand, you take bayah, you'll become the Muslim after reciting the kalima. Then the idols of your sin will be broken. Then you will have to leave the taxi and pray salah. You understand the point? Yes. Very dangerous situation. Delicate is iman. You have to make the choices. Our nafs, our desires, they make us free in the dunya. Go find a waliyullah. Don't waste time where old life is passing, years are passing. Don't know how the long should be, the beard, how to shave, where to shave. We have no knowledge in this dunya. Come to enjoy ourselves. Yeah, we're going to live here forever. We are this one day, that one day, look like this one day, change our deen. Sa'im mashkur, Allah says. Make an effort. The path I've prescribed to you, try, put effort in that. Even if you don't succeed, sa'i mashkura, even then I'll forgive you because you made an effort. You tried. So when you start traveling on the straight path, even if you couldn't succeed and you kept dropping, no problem. Allah says, I'm Rahim. A sinful person came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A sinful person came. One sin, full of sins his life, he came. He said, bring his good deeds to me. We said, what shall I do now? Good deeds? Allah, I don't have any good deeds. Angel said, Allah, he came to Allah after dying. Allah, he has got no good deeds. Had no deeds, not even enough deed to get the Jannah. Rasulullah has given this story. And look at us today in the dunya, we've got the greed right now of the dunya. And that person became alert. He said, despite these sins, he's getting good deeds. He said, Allah, I've got more sins than this. The Holy Prophet smiled at that time when he heard that. That at that time, when the sins were being changed into good deeds, he was going to get Jannah. He said, please, I've got more sins. So can I bring them as well so they can change into good deeds? So this is that Allah Ta'ala, whoever He wills, He can forgive. And whoever He wants to punish, He'll punish. We should not be despondent. But it's not the pace that if you disobey today, you've been forgiven. Allah has instructed, follow my Nabi, imitate the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't say, ask why. Why is this halal? Why is this haram? Don't debate. That why is this halal, why is this haram, why is this unlawful, what's this benefit? No! Allah's ordered, end of story. End of story. That's it. No why, what's this, minor, wisdom, intellect, nothing at all. Allah's instructed. Allah said it's haram, interest is haram. Oh no, there's benefits, economy, business, no. Allah said haram, that's it, end of story. Alcohol's haram, we say we use it for medicine, no, it's haram. Allah says keep the beard. You don't need to debate why keep the beard, I don't need to keep it, no debate. Allah says that follow my Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imitate him. Jannah you will get from that. Yes, whatever he says to you, do. Whatever he says, leave. No, we don't want to do that. He sat down when he ate, we will sit down and eat. He ate with his hands, we'll eat with our hands. SubhanAllah. Abdullah bin Umar, what was his lifestyle? What a great companion. Such a great lover of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that once he was passing by a place and the companions were there, Sahaba were there, and he came back and he rubbed his body with on the tree, on the bark. And they said, what are you doing here? Why are you doing this? Hazrat, O companion, that you were going, you came back to this tree and you touched it. And he said, once I was on a journey with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his blessed body, it touched this tree, I wanted to come back and fulfill that Sunnah. This was the style of the Sahaba. Why, what need do we have to debate, dalil, proof, benefit? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the action, end of story. Is it hard for you? Don't do it. But I get enjoyment. Allah says, if you get enjoyment, 100 martyrs will reward for following Sunnah. That's it. So make your lifestyle and start to end following and imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Deen is very easy. You come to Jummah, where the imama, the turban, have the beard, white clothes, just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Jummah. That's it. Trousers, these clothes, all other libas will wear. Whoever imitates a nation will rise with that nation on the Day of Judgment. This hadith will not tell me. Sahih hadith, and take this hadith out of Islam, we don't believe. Whoever imitates any peoples, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will rise with them. You will come and prostrate in their attire, you will rise with them. Allah knows best, you know best. The fatwas don't take benefit. Taqwa gives the benefit. Taqwa. Oh yeah, you can wear these clothes, we're in this country. Not at all. If you have to wear libas, but coming in the masjid, wear a thawb or jubab, wear that thawb before you come in. Change your clothes. And take your bareheaded scene away and put a topi on or imam on. Then if you have to wear those clothes at work, fair enough. Sharia gives ijazah. If you have to wear the uniform at work, fair enough. What's the libas? You can wear that libas. If you have to force, there's the Sharia gives that ijazah, that permission. But when you come to the house of Allah, different law. You're going to Hajj, you're praying, worshipping in front of the Holy Prophet Sam's Rawda, don't go in this appearance against the deen. You're crying, lamenting, you got no beard on your face in the Rawda Mubarak. Mawlana Mufti Shafi Sabnatul. In Ma'arif al-Quran, he done tafsir, he gives an incident that my style was when I went and presented myself at the Rawda Mubarak, I used to go to the back, I had so much manners. Everyone had their style going to the Medina Sharif. He said, my style when I went to the Rawda Mubarak, people are embracing the Jali, the holy friends. He said, my habit, Mufti Azim, Mufti Shafi Sab, and his son's great, has a Mufti Taki Sab, and Mufti Rafi Usmani Sab, mashallah, their name is spread around the world due to their great company. Mufti Shafi Sahib said, I was sat there, Rawda Mubarak, sat right at the back, I was crying, and from my mouth a statement I uttered, that I'm so unfortunate, people are going to the front, kissing, and the holy fence, and I don't have that, I don't dare to go and do dua there, do salam, I'm so sinful, I'm right at the back. Then the reply came, O Shafi, this is not the case, you don't understand who you are. It's not about being far away. The distance physically, every man is close to me, said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even if you're thousands of miles away, but you are following my way. And every man is far from me and I hate him, dislike him, even if he comes close to my Rawda Mubarak, my grave, but I'm far from him if he doesn't follow my way. When he heard this, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go and tell the people this, and he was Muballigh. Whenever he shared this event, that he said, I don't tell you my private events, if this was not beneficial for you, then he told everyone this event. And even now we don't believe in this. Why? He gave the straightforward message. That thousands of miles a person may be away from Medina, but he loves the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, he's close to the Prophet ﷺ. And that person who is in Medina goes close to the Rawda Mubarak, salam, crying, drama, his face is not on the deen, his libas, appearance, not lifestyle. What nearness will he get? Oh, I'll give hazri, he called me and I was invited. Do you think that such a person is invited? Oh no, this is, everything goes, we can do what we want, that Allah is asking us today, you want to go Jannah, Jahannam, it's your choice. You've got the choice today. So with a hazri, you have to have, your person's getting cursed and wretchedness from the Rawda Mubarak where you should be getting forgiven. I've done Umrah, I've done Salam, and he's practicing his life against the Sunnah. He's earning curses. Today, people there are afraid they can't wear imama. Where the imama came from, the holy city. They're afraid of wearing imama. When the imama's on their head, oh, I can't wear imama. Please take the imama and go there. Oh, I'm going to do umrah. SubhanAllah. Wah. Should I not be sacrificed for your love that you're demonstrating? We are taking off the clothes, the imama, the prince, they say, oh, they prohibit us. All lifelong, don't go to do umrah and ziyarah if you have to go like this. That I will only go if I wear the imama. I promise, otherwise I won't go. What's the point of going there for ziyarah? Ya Rasulullah, I won't come to the brother. When you invite me, I'll come in your appearance. Yes, it should be our style of love. Where's God? So much fear. This is our iman? We're scared? Money, this, they'll tell us do this, oh my job, my salary will go, all our actions are wrong. What is wrong? Any action that's against the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, totally you are spoiling your deen, your umrah, your life. If you're implementing, whether you're in Medina or in Makkah, wherever you are. I'll tell you my venture, I'll tell you my story. SubhanAllah. It's a bit lengthy. I'll shorten it, summarize it. Why do I say sunnah? Sunnah is important. Sunnah is important. Did some Mulana teach me? Did some Mufti teach me? Hazrat Saab didn't say to me once, my teacher for the sunnah. I went to Umrah. It's a private story, just like Mufti Shafi Saab, just to strengthen your taqwa. I'll share this story with you. Yes, because you might say he's right or wrong. Do you believe me? If I tell you, if you believe what I'm going to say, put your hands up. I'll tell you the story. Okay, listen to this story. I went to do Umrah. Clean shaven I was. Clean shaven. Just like the tradition nowadays. 30 years old I was. And I was young, student. And extremely... I said I loved Allah. I was religious. I prayed salah. But I didn't have a sheikh. I didn't have a teacher. So in that time, in the 70s or just before the 70s, I think it was... decades ago, Medina looked different then, and mashallah, it was open courtyard, open place, Riyadul Jannah, Ashabi Sufa, worship, pray where you want. So sometime before Ishraq, I sat down before sunrise, and I went to Riyadul Jannah after Ishraq, sunrise, and in Riyadul Jannah, there's a place, a pillar, Hazrat Aisha, the pillar of Hazrat Aisha, her hujra, near her hujra, and I sat there. And I started to recite Durood Sharif. Suddenly I felt that two people are next to me and sat next to me. This is a true event. Maybe today I'm telling you why. Because Allah wanted me to do tabligh and spread the deen. That's why. So two people came and sat next to me. I thought, so I heard someone calling out, and I looked at two people with noor on their faces, and they sat next to me. And one's on one side, one's on one side, and in Arabic, they said, why are you sat here? I said, I'm sat here. I'm reading Durood Sharif. Salam. There's no police there, no security. And they said to me, are you not ashamed? In Arabic. I said, why? They said that you're giving pain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are they saying to me? You're giving pain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're saying to me. And I thought I was a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reciting Naat and reciting Durood. I thought I used to recite Nasheeds. I used to cry reciting Nasheeds. And this is our basis criteria of love today. Oh, I cry when I recite Nasheed. I feel emotion, passion, buzz inside me. And I used to write Nasheeds. Write Nasheeds. And I thought I was an Ashik. People who knew me said I was a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said, huh? I'm giving pain? How can I reject? I said, what pain can I give to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I love him a lot. And look, I do this, I do that. And they said, have you never heard this before, what we're telling you? I said, no, no one's told me this. And the one on the other side, akhrij! Get out of here! Soon as he said that, I was given such a shove, like the wind came, and Ashabi Suf, the raised platform, there I ended up. There, my mind came to my senses. I said, oh yaar, this is severe. I'm in a bad position. Then I came out from the door, and when I came, there was a person standing. He said, come here. I said, what's happening now? Another person. I went there, and he said to, and mashallah, I had long hair that time, fashion, and mashallah, he took the machine and he shaved my head. He said, go to that shop, and many beautiful, simple shops at that time. He said, go to that shop and buy a thawb, jubba. He was guiding me towards the deen. I went to that shop, bought the libas. I said, I want the thawb. He said, yes, it's ready for you here. He said, money? I said, money? He said, I don't want money. Even today, I've got that thawb. And I wear it in the ijtima. I haven't worn it today. So that thawb, many years have passed. White thawb, beautiful thawb, jubba. I wore that. And then, on my head, the hair is shaven. I had long hair before that. I wore the thawb. And then I made the niyyah for beard. And I went inside the back. And then I was shoved, where I was shoved from. Sometime I'm there, I'm crying. emotional, and then a beautiful emotion. Then I was called out to same people. Do you believe what I'm saying? Do you believe this story? Then he said, why have you come here? I said, I just came here. Are you that same person who was shoved away from me? I said, I'm that same person. Then he said, MashaAllah, your place is here. Go now, the place for you has been made. Go and give salam at the Rawda Mubarak. So I got the current, the injection, I sat there. And then when I started to recite the Rood, the enjoyment I got then. Until night I sat there, nobody told me to leave. Like I got permission, like nobody could see me. MashaAllah, because I'd come into his shade, into his protection, into his way. Now tell me. Then I had to go on Umrah. Allah Ta'ala prepared me. Maybe the work of the deen. That's why I tell you about practice the sunnah. Because this is what happened to me. I've got nothing in my life apart from sunnah. So I went to the Kaaba, Muqam Ibrahim, and I sat there. And Imam Sahib came, Imam of the Kaaba, obviously very honorable, respected Imam of the Kaaba. And I saw his beard is trimmed. It happens regularly there. Waswasa of shaitan pulls a person away. I said, is this wrong, Imam of the Kaaba? And everything shown to me at that time, yaqeen, that is come in the Quran, fattabi'uni. Big tests will come, Dajjal, many of them will come in your life. And people will stop practicing the deen. Never submit to the evil. The real answer, sunnate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Always is the answer. Many advices will come, knowledge, books, bayans, and dramas in the world, and bigger dramas than society today. So much hatred people have got for sunnah, they don't want to name the sunnah. The astaghfirullah, they don't like in Makkah Medina themselves to do the sunnah. Allahu Akbar, the appearance, the imamah, the beard, they don't like it, if you observe that. And the more dangerous Dajjal will come than this. That's why it's told to us. I thought, yaar, what's this? What's coming in my mind? Imam, Makkah, trim beard. There I've seen something else. Immediately then, I thought. Then the announcement came. Voice came, thou servant. Practically I was shown that Imam is stood on in top of the Kaaba. The same Imam I saw who came to lead the Salah, he stood on the roof of the Kaaba. And even if he stands on the roof of the Kaaba and he opposes the sunnah, he will go to Jahannam. This clear. Amanna wa sadaqna. Whatever Allah says and His Rasul says, that's what stands. After that day, I never cared any person I observed that has to be on that path. Yes, the biggest value appreciation is sunnate Rasulullah. No other criteria is respected. What? How can you be more strong than this? Amalan, practically I saw this. Everything, any dawah, any claim bring in front of me. Doesn't matter, anyone claims anything, but doesn't matter how many words, technical knowledge, proof. No, nothing at all. Only one proof. Real success, following the Prophet ﷺ. I can tell you other events. Then I was presented for tabligh. I was prepared for tabligh after 5 or 6 years. First thing I was taught before tabligh was sunnate Rasulullah. Each and every sunnah was told to me. Advised by my teacher. What is the qarda, the value? The reality. That's why people say he's mad, he speaks about this all the way. My start of tabligh with every individual until he doesn't have imam on his head, then he cannot be my murid, my student. He cannot be. Where is it written? Where is the proof? It's not fard. I said, you are finished. The subject's ended. Don't debate with me on this. Our base, our creator, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this. The Sahaba did this, Awliyaullah did this, Walis of Allah did this. That's our deen. That's our deen. That's it. I'm sold. The decision of paradise and hell is on no other deed apart from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Decision. Shifa intercession will be on the sunnah. From the pond of Kawthar you will drink water if you follow sunnah. Quran yours will be accepted if you follow sunnah. Hifz of Quran, your hifz will be accepted on the sunnah. One criteria, one basis of acceptance, sunnate Rasulullah. Doesn't matter, the more your life you follow the sunnah, the more you will be a great sheikh in tasawwuf. Arif Billah will be that person who follows the sunnah. And difficult times, hard times by going in jail, in the cell, every time, every place, I experience. Why was I arrested? Because was I a thief? Was I stealing something? Was I taking money from people? No. Clear, they said to me, that you put imamas on the heads of people. We don't like your tabligh, your propagation of the deen. And I'm telling you that secret today, those things that they said to me. They spoke to me with these words, why did we bring you here? Why are you our enemy? They said to me, why are you here in the cell? We know you're not a terrorist, but why are we against you? What's the reason we brought you here? I said, I know, but you tell me with your own words. I know myself, I said in the first point, the interview, when they came to interview me, I said, if I'm a terrorist, then there's no Muslim in this era today who's not a terrorist, if I'm a terrorist. So, but nobody can bear witness. Everybody will leave my testimony. Allah and His Rasul will testify in my side. And that happened, that my testimony, Allah's Rasul some gave. Today, I have that writing that people saw. That the birds were flying in the sky. It's a picture, a brother took it. When there was the protest at my arrest, and they decided, Allah Ta'ala sent the birds, and they, subhanAllah, flying, they wrote the word Allah in the sky on that day. Allah. Allah, subhanAllah. And they changed their decision at that final hour. I was prepared for the hard, for the worst. I said, I don't know where you're going to take me now. I was ready for that. Ready for that. Because my crime was only one. They said, they told me the words, the people come to you, Allah sends people to you, and immediately you change their life and their lifestyle, you put imam on them, they follow Sharia, they follow Sunnah, we don't like you doing that. SubhanAllah, they said, go to the mosque, do tabligh, we have nothing against you, but don't teach them what you're teaching. And SubhanAllah, I teach one thing, the beloved Habib, Salasam Sunnah, that's what I propagate. And only a mu'min can be a mu'min when he follows the sunnah. What else can we teach? Me, I don't produce criminals or bandits. I prepare those people who will respect your countries, I said to them. I said, they will run your country. So our Sharia teaches wherever you live, you should respect that country. Follow the laws, respect the laws, respect the people, and respect their places of worship. And give them love, and give them affection, and give them dawah. So, subhanAllah, because our deen is a deen of love. Astaghfirullah, we will come to this country and do terrorism, extremism, and we'll go and throw bombs on your place of worship. I said, my students will never be like this. Our ta'aleem, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to spread the deen through love. What do you expect from me that I'm going to do wrong? And he cannot be my colleague, my student, he cannot be my murid, that person who's an extremist or he has a relationship with such a group. That subhanAllah, we want the protection of your country, and we do dua for your country, for the safety in this country. So we are sheltered here, we've been given protection, we are muhajirs, we are migrated here, we are spreading deen here. You gave us ijazah, permission, we respect you. We value that. We value that, we thank you. We thank you for that. MashaAllah, you've allowed us to practice our deen, and we respect you for that, otherwise it would be a big sin for us if we disrespect you. So when you say for the sake of dunya this is illegal, and if your law says that Sharia is illegal, this is wrong, this is a red line, then we'll stop there, we'll leave that place. That for example, if you say don't pray salah, don't go in jamaat, then we'll have to leave that place. Because the hukum of the Sharia prevails. We have to follow that law. When you say no, don't practice deen anymore, Islam anymore, I will not go to that place. Because Sharia is the place that I have to practice Sharia wherever I live. And how can I go and live in a place that would prevent me practicing my deen? So we have to understand to say subhanAllah. So what we need to do is respect the people in this country, respect the laws. They're allowing us to live here. We should take hatred out of our hearts. We shouldn't oppose them. Spread the deen with love. And nothing to do with them. This is our deen, Islam. Spread it, practice it properly. We respect them in every way. Because they have hosted us. And then they will understand our deen when we practice it properly. Yes, our akhlaq teaches us this. Our conduct. Respect, practice, give dignity, honor, and you will get the full rights. Yes, Allah Ta'ala has given you deen, Allah has given you a Nabi. Demonstrate that, practice that, show it to the people so they appreciate it. Yes, we're living here. This is our country. Allah Ta'ala says, follow the deen, follow the boundaries of the deen. Say subhanAllah. So I think we've spoken quite a lot about the deen today, mashallah. And I'm very grateful to you. That is, I'm not capable of speaking. So, what were we talking about? The deed that we should implement that will give us forgiveness. Bring all the deeds and practice into your life by doing dhikrullah. Dhikr of Allah is a great action. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Yes, you read the khutbah in Jummah at the end, what does he say? Ula wa ula ala, and at the end, about what? Dhikrullah, wala dhikrullah yakbar. But nobody does it. Who's doing this khutbah? That's it. It's not khutbah, it's a message. It's advice to us. That's why every Jummah after Jummah, we do muraqabah after Jummah. Yes, just one verse, I think, Mawlana Sahib recited, that after Jummah, pray Jummah after Salah, do what? Fantashiru. For what reason? It's Allah's fadl, His grace, seek it. But, wadhkurullah kathira la'alakum tuflihun. This is the verse in Mawlana Sahib you recited. What does that mean? What's the meaning? That look here, you prayed Salah, I'm very happy, Allah says, you've come, Jummah, after you obeyed my order, you left your shop, work, taxi driving, office, study place, you got ready for Jummah, you prayed Jummah, Allah says, I want to give you reward, fantashiru, just now wait, do dhikrullah, then go into the dunya. Allah says, now the thing I prohibited you to do, go into the dunya and get the profit. Allah will send the customers Himself to you. Himself, your shop will run. Fantashiru, Allah says, spread out in the dunya. Allah says, this is my fadl. All my fadl, my grace will come to you, but stop for a short while after Jummah. This is the order, but we stop. Allah has given us good news. That I'm happy with you, you've come to Jummah. Look at the translation of the Quran I'm giving to you. Is this the right translation, Mawlana Sahib? Mufti Sahib, mashallah, Mawlana Sahib's here. Ask them, what does Allah say? Fantashiru. What does Imam Thanvi Sahib? What a great Hakim he was, great physician. He said, Fantashiru, Allah says, spread out fadl. But Allah said that after Jummah, but this is a condition. Fadl will come, Allah's grace will come. Wadhkurullaha kathira la'alakum tuflihun. First, you must do dhikr first. Remember Allah first. Subhanallah. Hazakimul Ummat is saying this. Tanvi Sahib, that go out, seek Allah's blessings and mercies in the world, but before you leave the masjid and Jummah, do dhikrullah. That's why we Naqshbandis, without dhikr, we don't leave the masjid after Jummah. It's not me. All our order, Naqshbandi order, the chain Hazrat Sahib, and people don't know this maybe. And mashallah, there was no greater sheikh than Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, in the Naqshbandi order. He was a great sheikh. I don't know after that people have come, gone, etc. The greatest in the year 1900s, my sheikh was born. He studied in Sahranpur, in Hazrat Khalil Ahmed Sahranpuri Sahib's house he stayed. Taleem's coming from there, deen's coming from there. And Hazrat Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, my sheikh was his class fellow. They were both students in the same class from his father, respected father, Hazrat Yahya Sahib. And subhanAllah, you'll be amazed whose names come as the teachers of my sheikh, my teacher. And Allah's mercy that he introduced me to my teacher, and today you're getting the face. Not today, 1900s was my sheikh. A century ago. More than a century ago. A sheikh who was developed at that time as a Thanvi Sahib, as a Sahranpuri Sahib, in his house staying, eating, and pure food, and studying there. Imagine the ilm my sheikh had. Imagine. Was he bidati? Did he do innovation? Oh. Subhanallah, Jummah would happen. After Jummah, muraqabah, meditation. That same habit we have today, same practice today. 60 years, 50 years after Jummah, dhikr. Tomorrow will be Jummah. And after Jummah, what will we do? Dhikr. Then we will go out to the dunya. Then Allah's grace and mercy will come. And if you want to earn with Allah's fadl and just earn it without it, it's a big difference. That earning with Allah's fadl, there will be blessings, barakat, iman, and Allah's mercies will come in that. After Jummah, you do dhikr and then you go and earn. Is a big difference, according to the Quran. Okay, that's good. I gave you that message as well. So whenever you read Jummah, whatever you do in the world, after Jummah, stay for a short while, even alone, do muraqabah meditation. And then, by chance, if you come here in our company, then we have the gathering, mashallah, after Jummah. Muraqabah, morning, evening, and after Jummah. Mashallah, dhikr all the time. Then depart, go to your work. Everything will be fadl of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give to me and you, make us a true dhakir, a follower of His. And two things we need to do. Summarize. We need to utilize the iman Allah has given to us. We need to strengthen the iman Allah has given to us with dhikrullah. And we need to improve our deeds, do lots of deeds with dhikrullah. And we need to develop sincerity by spending time, go to the wali Allah, a sheikh, do bayah in his hands, and do your islah, purification. I'm not saying come to me for bayah. Whoever, whichever sheikh you like, wherever he is, but I recommend you a Naqshbandi teacher. The reason for that, because he has the full syllabus and tools and methods that from one position he'll take you to the heights of iman, systemized way. First ismezat, Allah's name, then muraqabah, Allah's name. Such a system takes you to the heights that you'll be amazed. Unique silsila. unique order. And this is the last silsila, the last order. And there's one thing here, that quickly you're connected to Allah. Quickly, very quickly you get the connection to Allah. And much, you don't have to do much effort. You don't have to do tasbih, lengthy recitations, nothing. Totally free and nothing to do. Work, business, wife, children, enterprise, trade, ilm, learning, knowledge. But dhikr, your heart will be alive in the background. That's how great is this order, Naqshbandi order. And this dhikr, this silsila order will go and it goes back and connects to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Great silsila, great order. So whatever sheikh you have, select a Naqshbandi sheikh. If you take bayah and you go to a sheikh, then ikhlas will come in your life and you will try, you'll be forgiven. Forgiven is the promise of the Quran. Allah will give you Jannah, beneath which are rivers and honey and beautiful comfort and luxury. And your life in this world will be best, excellent. And your akhirah will be best as well. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. I seek forgiveness. I took too much time. I enjoyed speaking to you. You're all forgiven. I like speaking to you, talking to you. You are jannatis. The hoors are looking at you. The angels are looking at you. Everything, all the scenes in the heavens are running right now. Your names have been recorded in the books. And this promise we need to look after. How long does it take to look after this promise we made today? Keep, make proper intention. You'll keep the full length beard, inshallah. You'll wear the libas of the sunnah when you go to pray salah. Definitely you will wear the appearance, attire of the sunnah. At work, fair enough, you can wear the uniform when you come to Allah's house. Wear the sunnah libas, sunnah clothes. At home, eating, drinking, sunnah. Teach your children, assign them to the company of Wali Allah to learn dhikr. And in this era, the best way is the company of the Wali Allah. And if we admit that you are practicing Islam, I'm solid, true Muslim and away from the sunnah, he's the biggest shaitan. He will never allow you to be good. And if you don't think that person is wrong, you still follow him and you think that he's forgiven. But remember, any insan who thinks that I'm doing wrong, opposing the sunnah and I'm fine, after leaving the sunnah, he's trimming the beard, cutting the beard, after taking sood, interest, and no parda, hijab, Allah is ghafur rahim. Total nonsense and rubbish that person is talking. 100% nonsense, bakwas he's talking. That person, shaitan has trapped him. Such a person will never get tawbah in his life. If he's arrogant and stubborn on his non-sunnah life, even if he's making a mistake, another person, and he's doing wrong, but he's got regret that I am wrong, I should follow the sunnah, I'm trimming the beard, I'm wrong. I'm not following the sunnah. What shall I do? Where do I get guidance? Then he's got a chance. That person, Allah gives a chance for that person to do tawbah. Understand this point. That's the two opposites. Okay, let's do dhikr of Allah now for a short while. Let's refresh our ruh, our soul. I've just refreshed myself, mashallah, with your company. Now my real work is starting, my profession, not to talk, not to discuss. My profession is starting now. Dhikr Allah, that's why you have to give time now to me. I feel like my heart sit down. I'll try, inshallah, to sit down with you on the floor. Because if I get tired, then I'll sit back up. I'll start a little bit, and I'll do a bit up and a bit down. So we'll start from up, sitting up here. Have you got permission? Okay, have I got permission? Okay, let's start then. Be alert now. We're starting the real work of dhikrullah. And so totally now sit with ease, comfortably. Be fresh. And sit. You sat in the dhikr of Allah. For this, all the angels were waiting. When will the dhikr gathering start so we can join it? In the heavens and the earth will be full of light with the dhikr of Allah. Such great kalamats we will recite. Alhamdulillah, no comparison to these verses we'll recite. In this gathering, we will recite these kalamats.
Bismillah ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, al-Mir'an, as-salamu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin. شفيع العالمين دعو ياسين نبيل العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صلينا على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وقطعنا وأمدنا كل ذلك عندنا
اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك
اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وأشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اكتهاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم اعفنا في بدني اللهم اعفنا في سمعي اللهم اعفنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت يا إله إلا أنت لا إله إلا أنت لا إله إلا أنت اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين
سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.